Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Today's Sunday session is brought to you thanks to the fine folks at More Beer. Visit them right now at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Welcome to the program, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Happy 2016.
Yeah, happy 2016 to you as well, Justin. Thank you for telling me that.
It's a brand new year for me to screw things up in.
Right. A brand new year full of brand new opportunities for brand new problems.
Yeah.
Or brand new failures.
Or the same ones.
That's true.
Do you remember that I don't do New Year's resolutions, but I dub every year a something like the year of...
The year of the rabbit?
Of, yeah.
Okay.
You know, growth.
Yes.
Or like the year of work, for example. That was many years ago.
I do
the
remember
year
this.
Of work was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this year's just came by default as I was looking at my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And also... just things going on. I realized that 2016 is the year of me being gone. It's the year of gone.
So 2015 is just
rolling over.
It's rolling over.
No, it's like 2015 squared.
Oh.
Like there's just tons of travel. Like, for example, I'm gone for the entire month of September.
Oh, really? Where are you going?
I'm going over to Europe.
Oh, wow.
And traveling around for, like, yeah, pretty much all of September.
Good. Good for you. You know, you've deserved it.
Yeah, you were gone so much in 2015, you should take a break.
Yeah, I'm rewarding myself by being gone.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we got, like, the Labrusky cruise coming up.
Yeah, that'll be... I got my passport in the mail the other day.
Nice.
So there's no way I'm not going now.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
I might get off one of the stops on the cruise and stay and not get back on the boat.
Can you do that?
Sure.
Oh.
Why not?
I don't think you can. I think the boat doesn't leave, like...
Well, eventually it does. I mean, they're not going to wait for me for a week. If they do, I'm definitely not getting on, because then I could spend a week on that island or wherever we're going.
And so could we, which would be nice.
Right.
By the way, we need to announce the winner of our Labrusky cruise tonight.
Oh.
So,
do we have this information?
We do.
Nice.
I think what we'll do is at the end of the show, we will announce our Labrusky cruise winner. There is still time to join us on the Labrusky Cruise. Just hit the Labrusky Cruise image on the homepage. You still get, I think right now, you get a great price for one, but then also you get like 20 free drink tickets or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big deal when you consider how expensive drinks are on a cruise. I don't know if anyone's ever been on one, but you know, it's like $8 a beer. Maybe more, actually. So anyhow, if you want to join us on that cruise. So I'm going for that. I'm, you know, all the normal things, too. You know, we've got the Great American Beer Festival we'll be going to. We'll be in Baltimore later this year for the National Homebrewers Conference. And if I decide to do it, BNA 11.
If I decide to do it.
Wow.
I feel like 10 celebrations is enough, right? I mean, who are we that we need to keep celebrating us?
The next big one's 20, so just wait until then.
I might just wait till 20.
Or let's just do it. Do like what the MMA fights where there's, you know, the championship, it's like fight number 472, and it's been going on for 5 years.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's fine.
Might do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. So don't expect me to be around very much in 2016 is the warning I'm heeding.
Everybody listening?
I feel like, you know, this is you're prepping for a child to be born or something like that. Don't think about me, son, as being here necessarily so much as being over there far away from you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm still here for you, but just not here. I'm there here.
Right.
I'll be there for you.
That's what I'm saying to you and our listeners. I'm not abandoning you.
Right.
I'm just not here.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, I think, like I said, if anybody who's you know, slept in till 11 for most of their life deserves to be gone, it's you.
I agree with that. Agree with that sentiment.
It's well earned.
So, I don't know. We'll see. That's what 2016 is going to bring you.
I wish
I had something better for you folks. that's what it's going to bring you. We do have a fantastic show planned for you tonight. We are going to be talking about women in beer tonight. We've got a couple of the women from the new, it's a website and a group called Grisette Nouveau.
Okay.
And we're going to be talking to a couple of ladies about that and what that's all about and some home brewing and some beers that they've brewed. Maybe they brought us beer. That would be cool.
Or not.
And then we're going to be talking to a couple members of the Pink Boots Society, a couple of the local Bay Area chapter members. I was looking at their website today. They have over 2,000 members in the Pink Boots Society.
That's 4,000 boots.
2,524 members, to be exact.
Wow.
Which is quite a bit.
That's a lot.
So we're going to be talking to those ladies tonight, get a little education about the different opportunities for women in beer and women in home brewing, and just kind of talk about diversity in general, I think.
I like
it. Yeah, so we're going to have a good show. In the meantime, let me just give you a couple of quick updates. You know, I've been telling you that our Winterfest is now actually happening in April. It's on April 2nd this year. It's a Saturday.
Yeah, it's our April Fest.
Yeah, I'm so struggling with like what the call. I mean, I guess it's like Spring Fest or whatever. But, you know, the reason it was, it's not even Winter Fest. It was always like Winter Brews Festival, which just has a nice ring to it. But like spring, I don't know.
Well,
Winter Brews Failure.
Yeah.
Start off your year of failures.
The fest formerly known as Winter Brews Fest.
Sorry.
Not the year of failure.
Well, this year, Winter Brews Fest will be gone from January.
Yeah, it's true.
It fits.
It all fits.
She gone.
Yeah. So just stay tuned. Tickets will go on sale soon, and it's going to be your normal great festival, but in April. And hopefully it'll stop raining by then. That was part of the impetus for moving it.
Well, it's less dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, it's been pretty rainy here right now. And, you know, there are other events happening on the dates we were going to do it in January now. So I don't necessarily wish this upon them for their events, but I am secretly just praying for it to be done. Dumping rain just to help like validate the decision of moving it to April.
Right.
Because then I'll be like, ha, dodged that bullet.
Thanks, know. Super Bowl 50.
Yeah. So April 2nd, mark your calendars. Come hang out with us. Lots of different ways to support the Brewing Network. You know, you can buy Brewing Network gear in our store. Just hit the store button on our homepage. We got a lot of gear in there. A lot of you did that over the Christmas shopping season, and I appreciate that very much. Gotten some new hop grenades out there into the world, and that's a great way to support us. We put new stuff in there all the time, and I think we'll be refilling it with some new gear here soon. You can also do your Amazon shopping. A lot of you did that. that over the holidays. That was very nice of you. Just click the Amazon link in our homepage and shop as normal. And we appreciate that. And you can also, and this one's really important, you know, you could subscribe and become a member of the BN Army. And for as little as $2 a month, you get entered into the More Beer monthly donation giveaway, which is a chance to win $100 to shop over at More Beer. And they do that each and every month only to members of the BN Army. And of course, More Beer is a sponsor of this program and all the sessions that we do, and we thank them for that. So I encourage you to do that. I know that the shows are free to you, and I like them to remain free to you. You know, I like giving out beer information, but people don't work for free around here. So,
I'm sorry, was that serious?
Yeah. Okay. So I would appreciate y'all signing up, and you know, I think it's worth it. I know I always used to joke that, oh, just give us your money for nothing. But frankly, there's over 10 years of archives in there.
Yeah.
There is, you know, arguably a larger collection of brewing and homebrewing information on our website available to you than anywhere.
Agreed.
From the very professionals that are that lead our industry. And so I think that's worth something. So sign up. Just hit the subscribe button on the homepage, and that's just a good way to support us, too.
And the odds of winning that $100 are slightly better than the $1.4 billion you could win in the Powerball right now.
Yeah.
That's true.
Only slightly.
Yeah, only slightly. But, yeah. All right. Sign up for all these updates and more over on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook is a great place to keep up to date on what we're doing. The lovely Kim Shimke will be on our program tonight. She handles a Facebook page for us. So you can always get to us that way, too. All right. And you can send your feedback over to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. That's feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Do we have a Twitter game tonight?
Yes, we do.
All right. The Twitter game is brought to you today by the Labrewski Cruise. That's right. We already told you all about it. Go hit the Labrewski Cruise button and come join us for a week at sea. There's some great breweries on board the ship. There's some great bands on board the ship. And, of course, we'll be there to entertain you and drink with you. You are very likely to see us acting like idiots for 4 days.
It's guaranteed, I'm thinking.
It's pretty much guaranteed, right? Like, yeah. You put me at sea with bars at every end of the boat.
I don't have to worry about how to get home.
No, yeah.
You're already home.
I stumble back to my room.
Yeah.
Or your room.
I have zero self-control. So
figure out which bed is yours.
Wow. Yeah, we better. You might need to put like a barrier around you, Bevo, so I don't crawl into the. And it's the problem is not that, you know, not sleep. Like, I could fall asleep next to you, Bevo, and be a perfect gentleman. The problem is when once I fall asleep, I'm kind of a groper, like a grabber.
Yeah.
Some would say even like a raper.
Some would say.
And especially when I drink. Like, it doesn't happen. It usually only happens when I drink a lot. So, really, you're not safe in that room with me, Beef. It's going to be. But it's not cheating if I force myself upon
one
you
of us
in
sleeping.
My sleep. That's not cheating on your part. Yeah. So,
so you can have a guilt-free and safe conscience.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a free pass for you.
Oh, it's a total free pass, Bev. Yeah, yeah, look at it that way.
To get a little new dick. Okay.
get a little new dad action.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
Both of you?
Yeah.
I just want to know what makes you think I would take my free pass with you.
Oh, well, I'm saying you wouldn't have a choice. I just explained.
It's like when you play Monopoly and you have a get-out-of-jail-free card and you want to spend it, and then sometimes you just roll the dice and you go to jail.
Have you seen that thing in Africa that they sell for women? Like
a rhino
like
horn?
Like if you get raped, like it shoots spikes into
Ow.
The...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that could happen.
What?
All right, let's play a game, people.
I don't know. I don't go to Africa, though. Yeah.
Me, like, I feel like I'm somewhere on your free pass list. I feel like I'm, like, my name is definitely somewhere on the list.
Oh, no,
like,
it's not.
Like, if you
hear that, definitely.
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 Like, yeah, right after it says over, then that's you first right at the top.
Yeah. I'm certain that some, okay, so take out all the famous people that, like, you can't, like, it's never going to happen. Right?
Yeah, like Beardy.
Right.
And
yeah, okay.
And so then you have your list of just, like, people you know. know and have seen that, like, if you had a free pass.
I don't have a list of people that I know.
Everybody has a list. Like, you may not have written it down, but
well, it's... Well, no, I didn't.
It's there. Like,
it's in my wallet.
You've been in a room and you've gone... All right. Like, if all things were equal, I would totally bang that dude.
Do them, blow them, jerk them, do them. Yeah. Next. Bring the next list in, please.
Oh, my goodness.
So, assuming that list had 10 people on it, what number am I? I'm guessing. Yeah.
Well, that list wouldn't have 10 people on it because I don't know 10 people who I'd want to have
even get a
intimate
okay,
relations
even better.
With.
So 5 people.
You don't make the list.
I feel like I'm number 2 or 3.
You don't
Devo.
Shower.
Say if you were stuck
but
on a
I
boat.
Would, I would shower. On free pass night, I would totally shower. I would even trim.
Gross.
Like I would
Stop
get,
it.
I would make, I put rose petals out on the bed.
Is that romantic?
We need a for real HR department.
But what if hair's our thing? You don't want to trim.
Right. Warren, relax. Hair's not my thing.
So number 2, we agree.
No. I'll get back to you.
There's a chance.
All right. So,
you're saying there's a chance. No, that's never actually what I said.
All right. All right, what's our Twitter game tonight, JP?
Well, as Warren mentioned, the Powerball is in the billions with a B, 1.4 to be exact. So at the end of this segment, at the break, I'm sure we're going to start breaking out and get a pool going. We're all going to throw in some cash to the BN Powerball, you know, pool,
yeah.
Right? And of course, it's going to hit because let's be honest, the Brewing Network has the best luck. Out of any podcast that's been around for this long, right?
That's true.
It just has, right?
So, yeah, good luck.
How should we spend the money? We all get an equal amount of the pie, $1.4 billion.
Okay.
What do we do with it?
All right.
How do we spend it?
Okay, good question. That's our Twitter game. Send it into our Twitter address.
which is Twitter game, P.O. Box 49582.
Right.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
All right. Should we do some feedback?
Let's do it.
Feedback's brought to you today by our good friend John over at the Beer Law Center. You can go to beerlawcenter.com and check it out. He protects our trademark. He can do the same for you. He could also do filings for you, especially if you're a brewery in North Carolina. He can help you out with all sorts of TTB things, and he's your guy, and he's great at what he does, and we appreciate his work very much, and I think you will too. Go check him out, beerlawcenter.com. All right, Josh writes in, hey guys, this one's about Clarity Firm. Thanks for the show, great content, and the general jackassery. I want to ask a favor. I know a few gluten intolerant people. No, you don't. And I'm looking to get a list together of beers that contain Clarity Firm. Of course, Clarity Firm is that wonderful White Labs product that brewers can put into their beer, and they call it that it makes a gluten-reduced beer, and it reduces the gluten so much that it's virtually untraceable. And I know, like, Stone uses it for a beer or two. And anyhow, that's what the product is. You can use it in your homebrew, too, by the way. He says, I thought about asking White Labs for a list of their clients, but I don't think that will work. And that's true. White Labs' client list is confidential. There are certain clients that don't mind. They mention they use White Labs products, but you're not going to get a comprehensive list there. He says, there's also the legal crap that people are going to worry about. So there is evidence based on many interviews you guys have conducted that Clarity Firm has reduced the gluten to make the beers acceptable for those who are gluten intolerant. So let's get these people some decent beer. So what I'd like you to do is, can you do a shout out on your show to ask brewers to get in touch with me with the beers that they add Clarity Firm to so I can compile a list? And he says that they can just do that at Twitter. That might be the easiest. And his Twitter is that's a weird name. At
this was a weird one.
Like, who's going to remember?
Create a
this?
New one just for this. You
seriously,
guy?
Jabetz? Is that it's JHAEBETS at JHAEBETS.
Well, more importantly, like, who's gonna take the time to write it? Yes, we use or do not use Clarity Firm. Like,
yeah.
Well, you're asking for the moon here.
I do like the idea, I guess, of having one list that people can use. Although I think the whole gluten like intolerant thing is bullshit, really. I mean, I'm not saying I think celiac disease is bullshit. I mean, that's a thing.
Yeah.
That affects 1% of the entire population.
There's also a test for it. But did you know that the very scientist who published a paper about gluten intolerance, about non-celiac gluten intolerance, later went back because he was uncomfortable with the findings. They weren't sitting well with him. And disproved his own theory and published another paper that says there is no such thing as non-celiac gluten intolerance. Now, he did go on to say that it doesn't mean that high amounts of gluten won't affect us, but what he was saying is not any more than high amounts of, say, some other substance. Like pepper, or you name it, like anything in massive quantities, it will probably cause an imbalance of some kind. And the second paper he published was essentially saying, you're no more likely to OD on gluten than on, say, some other substance.
Yeah, I think even he went a little bit further and looked more at the data from his original finding and corrected himself in that and said, actually, no, that's... the information I put out earlier was incorrect.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Which I think is even better than a clarification. I
was wrong.
Yeah, I proved myself wrong, which is the point of science. We can't.
Yeah.
You just put something out and go, I did one test and this is what it is. You can't take it as gospel.
Right.
That's not the point of science, right?
Yeah. Now, I know I'm pissing off a lot of people right now who are convinced that they're gluten intolerant. I'm just telling you that you're not.
And, maybe you get a little gaffy.
You know, just figure it out. Like,
find another name for it.
So, anyway. All right. Thanks for writing in, Josh. Hopefully people will respond to at Jabitz.
Positively. Yeah.
All right. So here's one about... Remember we did the online AHA rally?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I do.
Before the holiday?
Of course.
I got to call the AHA and see how we did.
How'd that turn out?
If we got some new members for them. But this person writes in and says, hey, I went to the link on the Brewing Network site for the AHA, clicked on it to renew, did the deed, put in the BN Army coupon code, and that was before December 20th. He says, I already got my new card and the sticker and the receipt with BN Army listed under the coupon code on the receipt, but where are the books? And more importantly... where's my tasty sticker, he says. Is there something else I need to do? And then he has a question. He says, for the tasty sticker, I do want to be clear on this one. Do I eat it, or do I lick it, or do I just stick it between my cheeks and strap on the seatbelt? Like, what do I do?
You can do whatever you want. It all works. Those are all good things.
Yeah. All right. You're going to need to contact the AHA on this one. And if they listed the BN Army code on your receipt, then they know about you. And you might just fire off an email to their customer service over there and ask. Maybe they just ship out these things separately. For Tasty, what did we tell people
you gotta
to do?
You got to send me your receipt dated for the date of the show or the day after.
Okay, there you go. Well, we did. Is it not for the whole thing? Like for the whole week?
No,
we
ran.
It's just those two days.
I let exceptions by.
So okay.
If you did it the whole week, fine. Send it to me.
All right. So send an email to tasty@thebrewingnetwork.com, and he'll take care of you.
Yeah.
That way. Okay. All right. The rest of you, yeah, and just hopefully you get your book soon and call the AHA. Here's one. Thanks, BN. I just wanted to thank you for all your hard work. I've been listening to your shows for the last few years, and they've definitely made me a better homebrewer. You taught me a lot and provided many laughs along the way. I don't think I would have gotten so involved with the brewing community without the knowledge that you provide. In the last few years, I've become a BJCP certified judge, president of my homebrew club, and placed in a number of homebrew competitions. Also won my first best of show this year.
Nice.
He says, I'm also working on designing a tap room and a brewery. Never thought this hobby would go this far. So to say thanks, I signed up to donate at the sergeant level.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. So he says, keep up the great programming. Cheers, Brad from Chicago. Thanks, man. All right. Here's one about SF Beer Week conflicts. And I read through this one earlier. I'm not sure why you're asking me this stuff. But he says, hey, first, I want to say thanks for the great entertainment. A few months ago, I bought a smart TV. And yesterday, I watched your YouTube videos from the Firestone Walker Invitational a few years ago. Amusing and educational. Yeah, you can always go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/brewingnetwork. And we post all of our on-the-road videos there. There's years of video content. Great American Beer Festival videos are up there. All sorts. sorts of interviews that we've done, some of our wacky antics, everything. He says, the purpose of this email is to start a dialogue about the upcoming SF Beer Week. It seems they've moved it up a week, which is true. He says, most likely because of the Super Bowl. Also true, because that's out here in San Francisco and was stomping on some of the events. So questions he has for me are, will this affect the release of Pliny the Younger, or will or will Vinny and Natalie hold true to early February? Tacey, you got any idea on that one?
Always the first Friday in February.
So they're not moving the release.
First Friday in February, unless it moves.
Yeah.
They're not moving.
They even announced on their Facebook. So if this guy just followed Russian River on Facebook, he would know this already.
If this guy did a lot of things differently, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Yeah.
So there you go.
By the way, some sort of control for the initiated.
I know. And then he goes, but my real concern is the conflicts on the final weekend. I always volunteer at Meet the Brewers, held on Saturday, January 30th at Hermitage Brewing Company in San Jose. However, later that day is the Celebrator Party in Berkeley. and it's not listed on the SF Beer Week schedule. I thought Tom always did that on Sundays as the grand finale.
things can change in the world, bro. It's quite possible.
Yeah, Tom did move the Celebrator Festival to Saturday. I actually do have that information for you. It's not on Sunday this year, and I think that'll be a permanent change, actually, that the even though SF Beer Week is going to move back to its normal time next year, the Celebrator Fest, I think, will happen on Saturdays from here on out. But, of course, that's up to Tom. I don't know about the Meet the Brewers thing. I think they're all happening on that Saturday, and which is why we moved. I just had to get our festival out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, I kept trying to move it around, thinking that there'd be a day here or a spot there, and it just turned out it wasn't working out. So you can go to the Drake's Apocalypse release on the first Saturday, the 23rd. I might go to that, too. That's going to be a good time. But anyhow, then he says, what's up with the Rate Beer Awards Party and Beer Festival the same weekend? Which of these do you plan to attend?
First, you send us your list, bro, and then we'll work off that.
There's a conflict, really?
So,
mutually exclusive.
That's another one. That's where my whole mess fiasco with the Winterfest started, is that the Rate Beer people called me and asked me to host the Rate Beer Awards for them.
Oh.
They were looking for a charming, charismatic, young beer.
And that guy wasn't available. So
I was busy already.
Why didn't you pass the message on to me, dude? That's fucked up.
But I had to turn it down because originally it was going to be our beer festival that day.
Yeah.
Well, then I found out later I had to move my festival anyway. I didn't call them back to see if they got someone else to do it. But
I would have totally done it. Who did it? Let's find out. I want to know.
Let's figure it out. I don't know. I think they got Billy Crystal or somebody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe Jimmy Fallon.
Somebody this guy, for sure.
Yeah.
Whoever their second choice was.
Yeah. Someone not funny.
Yeah.
I like you named two not funny famous people.
Anyhow, I don't know, man. I don't have to tell you. That's all the information I have.
Yeah. That's all you can tell them.
All right. Here's one about high-pressure brewing. I feel like all of my brewing is high-pressure.
Very intense.
It's really.
All of these questions were so... They're just so out of the... They're just weird. They're weird questions. They're not the normal feedback we get. They're detailed questions about shit we have no idea on.
It's true, except somehow we have had most of the answers. So maybe
we can make them up.
Maybe they're on to something. Mm-hmm. So Dan writes in, I was looking around the internet and somehow stumbled away from the porn and found the AHA forums where they were talking about high-pressure fermentation. So I got to wondering, how could I ferment under pressure in a corny keg safely? I ferment in a finished basement, and we don't need to try the old carpet filter porter. So how would I ferment in a corny? And he said, P.S. suck at Schumann.
Safely. That thing's rated for like a crazy amount. I mean,
how much pressure does he want?
It is, right? But you don't want it to sit there building up that
pressure
the way through fermentation.
No. The whole idea of the high-pressure fermentation is to restrict the yeast because, you know, slow the fermentation because of the pressure. You know, and of course, slowing
it. What's the point? Are we not talking about carbonating the beer? There's
It's basically a low PSI. It's not like
and it reduces the esters, putting more pressure on the yeast, and so it's in the beginning.
And so it's not the end, it's the beginning.
No, I believe what they're talking about is increasing the pressure in the beginning, right?
Usually they're talking about just they cap the beer and let it, you know, slow the fermentation by the natural carbonation that's taking effect.
Okay.
But you can certainly, add pressure at any time you want.
But I would think that if you do it at the beginning, you do need to be careful and go in there and release that pressure eventually.
You can do it in a keg. More beer has these PSI valves to ball lock out like they have for their conicals.
Yeah.
So if you ferment in a keg, you can do that pretty easily. I wouldn't ferment under pressure in a carboy. That's stupid.
No, he was asked about corn. Well, now that's a good idea, JP, because then you can set the pressure, right, on the valve. And is that what you're talking about? Like it's a thing that you can put on there. In fact, I have one of these for my conical fermenter from them so that I can add pressure to transfer the beer. Anyhow, if you could set the pressure, then you would be safely fermenting under pressure, but not have to worry about too much.
Yeah, but Warren makes a good point. What pressure are you looking for?
Because
2 PSI?
Yeah, with the conical, you can go to about 5 PSI before they have a pressure relief valve on there.
Yeah.
I've had a natural fermentation happen in cider that I had in a keg, right?
Because you said
that. I did. And it was just, the PRV was just going off eventually. And it was before the cider was completely fermented. So it was just the PRV. Granted, if the PRV failed, then yeah, you could have a potentially dangerous situation. But
yeah.
But with the keg, if you're willing to risk it, you could just rely on the PRV to eventually relieve that pressure.
Sounds like a bad idea.
I put 40 PSI in my kegs all the time when I force permitting. Right?
Yeah, well,
they're rated to
60. So
right.
But I'm thinking you'd get more than 60 if you capped off for the entire fermentation.
Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Huh? Yeah.
I believe they have spunding valves for corny kegs that you can hook on the gas out, and you can kind of set pressure that it will.
That's what JP was talking about.
Yeah, he mentioned that, which is a good idea, because the more you can say, I had it under this PSI for this length of time, the more repeatable or the fermentation is, or more adjustable it is. Maybe you say, well, it is more estuary than I like. Let me raise it to 6 PSI instead of 4.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Those are all the answers we have.
Which are
not. That's all we know.
These are all
basically, why do you want to do it?
Right.
You can use temperature the same way.
Yeah. We answered a question with a question.
Yeah. as we tend to do. Yeah. All right. That's it for your feedback this week. Don't forget, we got a great show planned for you. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk to a couple of the women from the local Pink Boots Society, which is a national organization. We're talking women in beer tonight. Hit the chat button on our homepage under community, and you can send your questions over to Bevo or give us a call at 888-401-BEER. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network. Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. Morebeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. Morebeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to morebeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the Learning Center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Marin Brewing Company in Northern California has been making award-winning beers for more than 25 freaking years. Today, I want to tell you about their new 12-ounce cans of Mount Tam Pale Ale. The good stuff, Mount Tam is bright gold, 5.5% ABV to keep you feeling good, and has been winning awards since 1989. If you're visiting the Bay Area, get your butt out to Marin Brewing Company. They pour tasty beers and serve great food every day until midnight. Come in for a tour, stay for the food, and pick up a six-pack of cans of Mount Camp
Pale Ale
to enjoy at home, camping, biking, or whatever the hell you do. Owner Brendan Moylan has this to say about Marin Brewing beers.
It's freaking awesome.
Marin Brewing has won more than 100 gold medals in international competitions. Check out marinbrewing.com for all their award-winning beers, food, and merch. Marin Brewing Company in Larkspur, California. Award-winning taste, refreshing finish. It's freaking awesome.
Beer tasting games that train your palate, a brewery locator, and the brand new interactive beer style guide. These are just a few of the awesome things you'll find on craftbeer.com. The style guide is a beautiful example of technology in beer. Browse beer style families or turn on the automatic beer style finder and explore beer through color, bitterness, ABV, aroma, and flavor. It's really the coolest way to explore every beer style besides having them all in front of you. Go to craftbeer.com and click on beer styles to start the guide. Plus, enjoy the rest of craftbeer.com, the Brewers Banter blogs, beer education, how to host a beer tasting, and the invaluable draft quality manual. Tons of great content that makes your beer better. Visit the new craftbeer.com right now and explore the website that brings you all the passion, camaraderie, and creativity of the craft beer community. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer. Ken Grossman of Sierra Nevada Brewing Company says, making great beer is hard. Making the same great beer every day is harder. Brewers Publications announces its latest release for breweries of any type and size, Quality Management, an Essential Guide for Brewers by Mary Pelletieri. Proper quality management for small, regional, and national breweries is critical. Whether you are an established business or brand new, learn the best ways to create and manage a quality system in your brewery. This book will guide you in developing a comprehensive program that will grow with your brewery, help ensure quality processes in the brewery, and continue providing great beer for your fans. Quality management for breweries is critical for continued success. This guidebook teaches you to integrate quality management in every level of the operation. It will guide you in developing a comprehensive program to ensure quality processes in your brewery. Quality management, an essential guide for brewers, now available from Brewers Publications. Learn more at brewerspublications.com.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
The Brewcasters are back.
888-401-BEER.
Whatever.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be talking women in beer tonight, which is going to be fun. If you want to call 888-401-BEER, you can ask questions yourself or hit the chat button on the homepage. Before we proceed, I wanted to remind you about one of our great new sponsors, the folks over at Great Fermentations. You can go to greatfermentations.com and check them out. And it's a great homebrew shop. You can do your online shopping there. They got a Pliny kit on their site right now that you can get into if you're into that sort of thing. But they're great people. And they also have the largest catalog of Blickman products on the web. Another another one of our great sponsors. They provide same-day shipping on some of the main items, whereas most vendors can take up to 3 weeks to get you their Blickman stuff. And their staff is some of the best trained on using Blickman products, so you can always get your questions answered over there. Top-notch customer service from the good people over at Great Fermentations. Check them out, greatfermentations.com. All right, I would like to welcome to the studio right now two young ladies from the Pink Boot Society. We have Tiffany McFarland and Erica Talbot in the studio with us. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming in. Oh, here, let me turn on your microphone so that you can actually speak with us.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. My fault. See, I'm already a chauvinist. I'm like, they don't need a microphone. Just keep them turned off.
We're pretty loud.
You're going to solve the problem for them. Yeah. Kim couldn't solve the problem. You had
Right. We know how to talk.
Kim Schimpke's in the studio with us, too. She is our social media professional. She does a mediocre job.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
I fit right in.
Just fits right in here at the BM. So you two are members of the Pink Boot Society. In fact, Erica, you're the co-chair of the local chapter?
Yes, so Tiffany and I both co-pres the local chapter in San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Okay, excellent. Explain to me what the Pink Boot Society is so people know.
Pink Boot Society is an organization. It's an international organization to promote and create awareness for women in beer.
Okay.
We also act as an educational arm, creating scholarship funds for women for brew school.
Nice. Okay. So you just do different fundraisers and things like that for that?
Yeah, we have an international international brew day on Women's Day, and then that same brew is made around the world, and then that raises money for the scholarship fund.
Okay.
You guys get a whole day?
We get a whole day, man.
Just one.
Cool.
Just one. 364
just one.
You guys.
Yeah. Well, it's a new thing. We need to get used to it. So
we're like, all right, you can have this one.
You know.
Like, it's March. Who cares?
It's March. Whatever.
Yeah. I was like, it's like the 13th of December or some awful. and there are chapters all over the country?
Yeah, and there are some abroad as well.
Okay.
Whoa, you can't say that word. You can't say broad.
She's a woman. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's okay. Got it. All right.
And what does a local chapter look like? Is that kind of like a homebrew club?
Oh, it's actually a really phenomenal mix. I mean, we've got a hop farmer. We have a woman who sells the chemicals to clean the tanks. We have a lot of professional brewers. We have salespeople, marketing people. We have people who sell yeast. I mean, we have pretty much run the gamut to bartenders and bar owners.
Okay.
Brewery owners.
Do you meet monthly or quarterly or something?
As often as we feel like having a beer.
Okay. Nice.
So we try to do maybe twice a month. Some of those events are smaller where they're just meetups to have beer. Sometimes they're larger in terms of bottle shares, actually home brewing, anything
or
beyond
field
that.
Field trips.
We do a lot of field trips. We just went to White Labs.
Oh, nice. How'd you like that?
It was awesome. It was a great time.
They took good care of us.
It's a cool place. Yeah, they love brewers of all kind over there. Do you know how long the Pink Boot Society's been around, approximately?
2008.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mid 2000s, around that time.
And there's a lot of members, like over almost 2,500 or something.
Yeah.
According to the website I was looking at.
Shockingly,
today.
There are a lot of women who like beer.
Yeah, which is...
It's incredible, right?
Yeah, well, where are they all when we go to these beer festivals and it's all dudes?
They definitely know.
Yeah, they know better. They're hiding. They're in line for the bathroom.
Yeah.
But that's changed quite a bit over the last 10 years, don't you think? The ratio of men to women at festivals and events.
I think 100%. But, I mean, there are also things like, as a woman in beer, it's not even a sex thing. I just don't want to go to a lot of the big festivals. I'm old.
I got other things to do.
A lot of the guys don't either.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, there's a lot of hoppy beers at these beer fests, and I know women don't like hoppy beers.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
No.
So,
as a rule.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Women love hoppy beer.
Once we get
an IPA right now.
Once we get back to more the fruit beer kind of things. I think that'll open up a lot of...
Yeah. That'll change things.
Fruit wheat beers, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
nonsense. Yeah. Total nonsense. We drink it all.
There are still... my observation is that there does still seem to be far less women in home brewing and at home brewing events, for example, than there is, say, in pro brewing.
I would agree with that. I think the woman home brewing scene is still really small and kind of quiet, but it's definitely getting a voice in this area for sure.
Yeah.
I know down in Santa Cruz next month, they're actually going to do a homebrew class, and it's run by a woman. Women are teaching the whole thing.
Nice.
So it's definitely showing some legs. We're going to see it more and more.
Okay. And your next guest will definitely educate you on that.
Okay, good.
Exactly, yeah.
Excellent. And are men allowed in the Pink Boot Society?
That technically, members? They're not allowed to be members, okay. But we have a lot of supporters.
Huh. Yeah,
and, I mean, we jokingly refer to them as the Pink Beards.
Okay,
and they have shirts. They they come out. They support.
Okay, excellent. But not if they can't be official members.
Members, you have to have made a dollar part of your income from working in craft beer.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
You need boobs.
You basically have to have boobs. Okay.
Man boobs might count.
I was going to say,
there
are plenty of guy brewers that meet those criteria.
I was thinking you could double your membership tonight if man boobs were accepted.
But shockingly, a lot of men do attend our events.
They do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've got a lot of great men supporters out there.
There are a lot of women at those events.
That's right.
That's what I hear.
That's how we get a lot of men at our events.
Right.
So describe to me what maybe a typical event or even a not typical Pink Boots event looks like.
Man, it's such a range of different things, because for a great example is International Women's Collab Brew Day, which is March 8th. So when we have that beer ready to go, it can look like a tap takeover if we've got women that represent different breweries in the Bay Area. A lot of those bars will put their beers on along with our Pink Boots beer, so we can have all the women get together. It's a nice time to talk, to chat. People donate. It's good educational series time.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, you can probably elaborate a little bit more on this.
Yeah, I mean, it can be anything from that to some people will have a fundraiser for for Pink Boots and bring on any of the breweries attached to the members.
Okay.
It can be a tap takeover, but we have a lot of educational series for members and also for new members.
Okay.
And try to have new opportunities to educate people who are interested in getting in the brewing industry, or people who are at one level and want to become a brewer, or they want to move into another area. Then we have a wide network to introduce them to.
Exactly. It's really nice. We actually had one girl within the group, Jen Jordan. She actually just won the Glenn A. Falconer Scholarship, so she's nice. Going to get an opportunity to expand her knowledge, her education, and do that. And that's one thing that Pink Boots offers. They offer different scholarships throughout the year,
okay.
So we can help our girls get those scholarships or help find other networking opportunities that really get them to their next level. So if you want to become a certified Cicerone, we teach beer classes to get you there.
Okay.
If you want to get a scholarship, we're going to do whatever we can to get you there.
Okay. Do you have any idea how many scholarships you guys have given out over the years?
They do. So for the national organization, they do 1 to 2 scholarships every year.
Okay.
And the big one is with the Seibel Institute.
Yeah.
It's a 4-month internship.
Oh, it's a big course.
There.
Okay.
Yeah. But they give that out to a few people.
Wow.
So it's not just one.
So you guys are raising a lot of money because those are expensive courses. So that's cool.
Well, Seibel helps out with that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think with one of our big, for last year for International Collab Brew Day, I think one day we raised close to $300 just with one event. So we're able to actually donate quite a bit of money to the national chapter.
Okay.
Which is nice.
Oh, that's very cool. Now, I think it's great to have an organization like yours to help in beer education and things like that. But so I have a question about this. I have a difficult time figuring out how to target different events that we do toward women. And my goal is to try and welcome women into either homebrewing or an appreciation of craft beer. But and I'll give you some examples. I won't be vague. But I'm always concerned that I'm doing, like by the very nature of me targeting something towards women, that I'm doing the opposite thing.
We're very sneaky.
So I'll give you two examples. Like one thing that I did, I'm still embarrassed about this. This doesn't have to do with putting on an event, but I was at the National Homebrewers Conference last year, and diversity in brewing had been this big topic. And I'm on the governing committee, and I had been contributing to that conversation quite a bit. And late one night at one of the rooms full of people, in fact, I think it was like the Grog Tag event, JP, where I just was up partying, and I wasn't very sober. And there was only one woman in the room. And I got
it was the Grog Tech.
And I got it into my head. I was like, I want to go over and appreciate this woman for being here among us bunch of dudes. And by doing that, and I wasn't the most eloquent I've ever been because I had been drinking, but basically all I did was single her out. I basically blurted out some weird thing like,
woman!
Oh, we love that.
It's great that you're the only woman here. Like, I put a glaring spotlight on.
Oh, I think it was, we even have a woman here.
I did, my intention was very much to just be like, I think this is awesome, and instead, I totally like shined a spotlight on it, like the opposite of what she needed at that moment in her life.
It's amazing how often that happens.
Okay.
Like, even just if I'm going into a bar and sitting down with a beer, people will be like, a woman's here. And I'm like, yo, man, you don't got to freak out. It's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
I know. I got my 16-ounce curls down, buddy. Let's go.
Yeah. But I just, so there's that, and I think that's just that dudes are awkward. But the other one that sometimes I struggle with that maybe I shouldn't is like I want to put on some beer education here at the Hop Grenade. And some of these things like I could run. But again, I have this thing like, okay, so if I start promoting this event like, you know, Beer 101 for women, am I doing, again, the very thing just by targeting something towards women? Do you see what I'm saying here?
I think your strongest point, like the strongest way you could do this is if you actually elect a strong, educated woman in beer and have her at the helm.
Right.
Because I think that's the only way you can go about it and you know, not worry about that.
Okay.
Or you can partner with us.
Yeah, the Pink Boots Society. We're
Pink Boots.
Happy to do that.
Brewing Network collaboration.
So I love that. And so this is going to happen. Consider it done. But so are you... Am I right, though, that I'm worried then if it's me doing it? Or should... like?
No, I don't think you should worry. I mean, some people might be like, wow, that's an awkward way to word it. But at the same time, maybe this is how we get past that and get more events out there to get more women that are interested in beer to do these things.
Okay.
But these events would happen after dinner time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, of course. I just want to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, after the babies are in bed or whatever happens.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Okay. So I just, because I feel like it, especially in beer, actually, maybe in anything that is like, that can be so male dominated, that even men who don't want it to be that way and like want to try to change things just end up doing stupid things and putting our foot in our mouth.
Well, I mean, we can help you partner with things, but we can't excuse men, and we can't fix that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, you'll still be men.
We can only do
good
so
call.
Much.
Good call. All right, I can accept that. As long as you can accept that, then I feel like finally I can accept that.
That's true, but I feel like it's really limiting our roles by saying at the end of the day, we'll always be men. Maybe not. We can change that. It's 2016.
There are surgeries.
There are things. Yeah. There are ways to change it.
And then you can become Pink Boots members.
Exactly. Oh.
Yeah.
Do it just for that.
I'm kind of happy that there are clubs that, you know, you need to be, they're gender-specific clubs in the world. I think, you know, 2016, 2015 is totally PC out of control.
Mm-hmm.
No, we only let women in the club. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And I think it's totally great.
And why not?
I think it's fine.
You know, when it gets to the point where you know, there are so many women that it would be ridiculous to have a club, you know, we're not going to have one. Then, you know, while we're a gross minority in this industry, it's a really great time to have this, and hopefully we don't need this. I would love to not have a Pink Boots Society in 20 years because there are so many women in beer that it's just silly to point it out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
gross. We could call it something else at that point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's real hot in the brew house, though. It gets gross.
Well, that's true.
Now, you both work in the industry as well for different breweries.
Yes.
Yeah. Tiffany, you work for Fieldwork. Great brewery.
Thank you.
We almost always have Fieldwork on tap here now at the Hop Grenade because we're just fans of the beer. And Erica, you work for Firestone.
Yep. I'm with Firestone Walker. Yeah.
Another one that almost always has a tap handle.
I know. I saw your tap in a brand new beer we have on Friday.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Nitro Merlin.
Nice. Oh, beautiful. We haven't had my favorite Pale 31 on tap in a little while.
Trust me, I've noticed.
You've noticed that, yeah, right?
I love Pale 31. You guys are slacking.
I know, we
get
always
together.
I feel like maybe Kevin's just fucking with me, and that's why we don't have it on.
Kevin's fired.
Good. I'm glad someone finally swore. I've been holding back.
No, don't worry about that.
I was going to say vagina earlier, and I was like, that might be a big faux pas. I better hold back.
Slow down, Erica.
Wow. I clearly was not listening to the first segment, which I've liked to dub the sexual harassment section.
Yeah.
Segment.
Yeah. I don't know if we learned that I'm number two on Bevo's free pass
list. That's right.
He's actually not. Mm-hmm. He's not on the list.
I think 2 through 5 are in this room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there 3 girls here?
Wow.
Oh.
It just got down.
Holy
right.
Shit.
That just got down.
This is how progressive we are here at the BN. We are going on a cruise together, the Labrusky cruise.
And we let Bevo open her own door.
We do, yeah. So. She's going to carry all of our bags. Yeah. And Bevo and I are sharing a room. And that's when I think being number two on the list is going to come into
play. It's going to pay off.
And
her husband is even coming on the cruise.
Yeah, but he's sleeping
Justin
in a different room.
Is sharing a room with Bevo instead of him.
Yeah. Just as an experiment.
Right.
Try things out.
I feel like everyone should just know. All right, forget it. We'll just leave it like that.
Right.
Now, are there any upcoming Pink Boots events that we should know about here?
Yeah, we got 2 big ones coming up for SF Beer Week. January 24th, which is Sunday, we're doing an event at the Good Hop, and we're actually featuring portraits done by Natalie Jenks. And
she did a whole series on women in beer.
Okay.
So this is her first exhibition.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
On the 24th, mm-hmm. you said.
It's Sunday, yeah.
Sunday 24th. Okay, excellent. Good. It doesn't interfere with our 23rd. We're having
then, don't panic.
Yeah.
The Pink Boots will also be helping network with people who are not in the beer industry at Freehouse on the 27th.
Okay.
They'll have a top list of beers with local brewers that are women, but they will also be just it's a night for women who are interested in different aspects to come meet everyone in all of the different ways you could become a Pink Boot and work in the beer industry.
Okay. So, like, describing different, what the different jobs are and things like that?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Jen Jordan will be there as well.
Okay. Because I don't, like, on my list here to talk, or am I going to do that with our next group, just to talk about different opportunities in working in beer? Or does it matter with these two also? Because this seems like a weird question to me to have to ask, like, so what opportunities are there for women in beer? Because I would think all the opportunities that there are for me in beer.
Yeah. But I think people don't even think about, like, you know, the fact that we have somebody who sells the chemicals to clean the tanks. Nobody thinks about that. And, like, I want to work in beer. I think I'll become a hop farmer. But
yeah.
We have those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I think if you can do any job, there are so many ties into beer. It doesn't matter what gender you are.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Like, people probably are out there like, all the women that do, or all the people that drive the trucks are men. But we've got women that load the trucks, unload the trucks, and those kegs are full.
Okay.
They can throw some weight around.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
beefy.
They are. You know, I feel like White Labs is a pretty good example of a company in beer that really embraces women. Like, I feel like almost their entire staff are women.
Yeah, they do embrace women, and they don't have to pay for it. Well, I guess they do.
Yeah.
Like a hug.
Like
a hug.
Extra?
Yeah.
No, they only have to pay 70 cents on the dollar.
Right.
Stop.
Maybe that's
which is great.
Why are you allowed to control your own mic?
They might pay extra. Well, their vice president is a woman. Mm-hmm. Their lab manager is a woman. I forget what Kara's title is.
Woman.
Woman. I think she just says woman on her card.
Woman and yeast. That's
yeah.
her job title.
Woman is the lab manager.
Yeah, Chris and Mike, everybody have different official titles, but all the women just say woman.
But yeah, there's just a ton of women that work at White Lab, as an example.
Yeah.
Are there any, you know, specific jobs that you sort of point out for women, or are you more just focused on, like, hey, don't forget there's all these jobs that you will never think about, like loading trucks or like a hop farmer,
inventory control.
So it's more just to point out you know, that there are other things.
Yeah, I think when we start talking to people, it's more learning their personalities and what their strong suits are, and then suggesting opportunities that they might not know exist or maybe never thought they were qualified for.
Okay. Like, you might be a great graphic designer, and that doesn't limit you to working in a marketing firm. You can work for a brewery in their art house.
Yeah, okay.
Or a distributor.
That's a good point. How did you two get into the beer industry?
I started working at a brewery when I was when I was younger.
Okay.
And it just kind of became a long-lasting love affair.
Were you a home brewer first?
I was. I was a home brewer, and then I went to school for environmental science doing water quality, and I started working in a brewery doing water quality, and then they were like, yo, you're really social. What are you doing? And I was like, yo. I don't know. So I got a job in sales because I love to talk.
Okay. How long have you been working in sales now?
Over 5 years now.
Wow. Okay. And you still like it?
Yeah, for now. I mean, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I might have a gig in radio. You never know. Are you guys hiring?
Let's That's right.
Do you guys like women? That's a big question.
How many women do you need?
Yeah, how many women do you need?
That's a loaded question.
We like we like women. We totally have positions available, and we pay next to nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds right in my alley.
So this isn't beer.
Yeah, just like the rest of the brewing industry.
Yeah. This is the beer industry.
But we pay the men just as little as the women, so just
Perfect.
So you know.
Perfect. That is a fact.
But 30% more than nothing.
Certainly not a bias there.
Not very much.
Do you still homebrew, Erica?
I do still homebrew, yeah. Okay. Not as much as I'd like to because my apartment's really small in San Francisco. But when people don't think I'm cooking crack on the sidewalk, I definitely take my equipment on the sidewalk and homebrew there.
You do just out on the city streets in San Francisco?
I damn right.
That's cool. I would like to walk by and see that, actually. People must come by and stop all the time. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing?
All the time. Yeah. Everybody thinks I'm making drugs. I'm like, no. Yeah. Just... Ruin a beer, man.
It's making
cool.
beer, yeah. And, like, what got you into beer in general? Like, as a beverage, like, enjoying beer? Just, like, college, and you started drinking beer, or what? What got you into craft beer?
Yeah, I'm proud of that weird part where craft beer was always around me.
Okay.
My college campus was right next to a craft brewery, so I kind of started drinking craft beer right away.
So you went to Chico?
No, I went to the University of New Hampshire, man. I'm an East Coast girl.
What was the brewery?
Okay. Red Hook, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, as random as that is, but it ended up working out really well. And then I worked for another really small brewery out there called Smutty Nose.
Yeah, I know that
too. They're climbing the charts. So I was with them for a long time before I made the switch to Firestone.
Okay. Red Hook was a gateway craft beer for me. Like, I moved from, you know, Keystone or something to try to Red Hook and really liked it. I would buy, you know, I would mix in a six-pack of Red Hook every now and then.
You have to.
That was before even Sierra, I think, before I started liking Sierra Nevada, which was, that was the one that really changed me. But yeah, Red Hook was one.
They gave me a job. I mean, they were going to pay me, so I couldn't really say no to them.
Were you working in the brewery?
Yeah, I was doing quality control.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing water quality analysis for them.
Okay. Was that your education background?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my degrees in, yeah.
So how come you're not in a brewery lab now? Oh, I guess you explain that because you're just so outgoing.
Well, I might go back to one. Yeah, there's time. I'm young. There's time. Okay. I'm in no rush. I'll figure it out.
Maybe you need like a, not that I want you to leave Firestone or anything.
They're pretty rad.
I love Firestone.
Come on.
But
come
I think
on.
Like maybe you need like a small brewery where they need both. Like they need some lab work and a salesperson. So you use your education and get out there and see human beings.
Yeah. I still use my education because now it's kind of just turned into a hobby instead of it being a career, so I can still keep up to date with it. I still know what's going on.
Yeah.
Still attend conferences and all that sort of jazz. So
do you want to?
I don't feel like it's gone to waste.
Do you want to tell us all the secrets behind the purchase of Firestone Walker while you're here? Go.
So.
Ready, go.
And.
Can we ask some Firestone rumors?
Yeah.
Oh, Firestone rumors. What's the rumor mill?
Well, I've heard that DBA is being canceled, is being permanently shuttered.
That seems impossible.
That's what I've heard.
Our 20th anniversary this year. There's no way we're getting rid of DBA. We're actually going to put DBA in cans.
Nice.
And we're going to do Nitro DBA.
Wow.
We got some rad shit going on with DBA. I've heard rumors that our 20th anniversary ale is going to be some sort of like quadruple DBA.
Okay.
But that's just what David Walker said during a meeting one time while he was arguing with Adam Firestone. So who knows how true that is.
I wonder what kind of tires David Walker has on his cars.
You do?
That's Bridgestone.
Yeah, you think of Bridgestone just to piss off some fucking David? Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Hey, they bicker like crazy. I wouldn't be surprised.
I heard that Firestone's opening up a brewery in San Jose just to brew 805.
That might be true.
Oh. Ah, there's one that might be true.
Yeah, all right,
we
maybe.
Definitely have a new brewery going in Venice Beach that's about to open up. Where like
brewery restaurant, right? Like
yeah,
a full
it's gonna be both.
Okay. All
How right. many homeless people a day are you gonna have to shutter off the streets before you open on Venice Beach?
10.
Okay. I don't know. We'll bribe them in beer, I think.
Oh, this is the greatest job I've ever had.
I heard a rumor a while back that Pale 31 could be discontinued. Which go ahead.
I don't. think so. We're also putting Pale 31 in cans right now that are going to be launching in the area.
Probably literally right now.
Literally right now. And actually, the Bay Area is the, one of the top Pale 31
accounts
in the country.
Yeah, thanks,
Justin. Justin is one of the top Pale 31 consumers.
I will go
thank
on
you,
record
thank you. You're
right
keeping
now.
Me employed.
If you guys stop making Pale 31, David, Matt, listen to me. I will disown you. Like, I won't talk about you anymore. I won't come visit the brewery. I know that this is a severe punishment.
He won't harass you at beer festivals.
Right. Yeah. You want to know what's crazy? We have a sales meeting that starts tonight in Buellton, and they're actually listening to this right now in Buellton. So David Walker might be hearing you.
Okay, then I have another question.
They are actively tweeting, engaging right now on social.
Oh. Excellent.
So whatever. If there's any truth to that rumor, you guys better switch it right now. I think I'm responsible for at least a fraction of a percent of Firestone Walker sales by the amount we talk about Firestone on this program.
I agree with that.
All right, second question. Who is more handsome, David Walker or me?
David Walker. Have you seen that hair? It, like, floats.
He does have better hair
than
I do.
Not only hair, but cheekbones and chin and jawline and healthy eyes and height and weight and muscle tone.
Oh, wait, he has an accent?
He's British.
Oh, you suck, Justin.
All right, you guys, you don't have to be so adamant about it. You could have been like,
bank account and cars and attitude and personality and friends.
It's a tough decision.
He might make the list.
David, like, that would have been nicer.
David Walker.
David made the list.
He's number one.
Dave made number one.
Be like my San Francisco rep
is the best. Yeah.
I don't know about what I did to hire her. But if you want to hang out with David Walker, we're doing a really cool event during Beer Week called Walker's Wild Ride.
Oh yeah, I've seen that every year.
He drives up this old school Land Rover. We go to four accounts. We tap a bunch of unique beers. He shakes some hands, kisses some babies, does some hair flips.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing.
Nice. I yelled at David last time I saw him at an event because it was just after the announcement. And I just walked up and I was like, Dave, really? All these years that we've known, I have been promoting Firestone since you guys were nothing, since people didn't even know you. And you couldn't give me a scoop. You couldn't call me the day before and say, hey, I know you're going on the air this week. I got a big story for you. Nothing.
No. That implies that he thinks about you.
Right. Yeah. He didn't really respond. He just smiled, flipped his fucking hair, and then poured me a beer, offered me a beer. He was working. So he was at a festival.
That sounds like David for you.
Yeah.
Maybe his servos weren't working at the time.
Yeah. Blame Jeffers. It's his fault.
I'll blame everybody I can for all the things that are wrong.
Get Steve on the phone.
All right, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Jen Jordan, who's a member of the Pink Boot Society. She wanted to give a member perspective. Jen, you still with us there?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Jen.
Jen Jordan.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I called in a long time ago, but I guess I didn't realize that I could actually speak and you could hear me.
Can now.
Low tech situation.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I just wanted to thank Erica and Tiffany for sure for being there and talking about what's going on in the Bay Area with women and with beer. And I just want to encourage anybody who anyone, any woman, anybody who cares about, you know, appreciating beer to brew beer and to brew, you know, 1 gallon of beer, 2 gallons of beer, 5 gallons of beer, whatever it is. And because that's what it really takes to understand what beer is made of and why we love it.
That's good advice.
That's my contribution.
I like it. And you are a member of the Pink Boot Society. Which chapter are you in?
The Bay Area.
The Bay Area here. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. And I'm a brewer at Anchor Brewing Company. I'm the first woman ever to be hired by Anchor Brewing Company as a brewer. So I've been doing that for a couple of years.
Jen, were you there just the other day when my team came in for a tour?
Yeah.
I think I saw you brewing.
I was there. Yeah, I met you.
Okay, yeah. Very nice. It smelled so good in there. She was brewing. It was amazing.
You can smell over the perfume.
I could, yeah. Jen's very perfumey all the time. I don't know. So how long you been working at Anchor?
Go ahead.
How long you been working at Anchor?
I've been working at Anchor. I think it's been, let's see, in March it'll be 2 years.
Excellent. Well, congratulations awesome. On being the first female brewer there.
That's especially at a good gig like that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was a great
gig. It's so badass. Yeah. They've been around for such a long time. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah.
About cool. time, right? You think they would have been wasted.
Well, that was the second thing I was thinking. I was like, congratulations, being the first woman. And then, wow, it's been since the 1800s that brewery's been open. So it is about time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the 1800s, but
Wow. Okay.
I get what you're saying. Well, but I just wanted to contribute because I know Tiffany and Erica, and I saw you guys the other day, and they've mentioned my name a couple times on the air and on the show, and I just wanted to contribute in any way I could.
Well,
make,
I'm glad you did. Thank you for calling in, Jen.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Cool. Cheers.
Here.
There you go. Jen, one of your members.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was rocking it the other day. So I've been to that brewery so many times, and I've been there when they were brewing too, but I never went and got to kind of poke my head into the mash tun and stuff.
Yeah.
And mash tun was completely full. They've got the copper kettles. So you've got that big lip and mm-hmm. then it's so full. They make such maximum use of that brew system.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it was like a homebrew mash tun when you're trying to do a barley wine.
Sure, sure.
You're cramming it to the
full.
Top.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It was really cool to see. And it was spinning the whole time. The whole mash was just spinning around. It wasn't sitting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They have a whole spinning thing.
Mixer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Oh, a mash mix. That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
You're so you're so enthralled with technology. It moves.
It's moving. It's a spinny thing.
There was no man in it. It moves.
How many breweries have you been to before Anchor?
You should hire a woman to host the show.
I'd like to reference the earlier part of the show when he said, this is where you get 99% of valuable beer information.
Spinny thing.
Spinny.
Well, I didn't say it came from me. It's other people did.
I love you.
Great information.
By the way, Bev messaged me. She said that she's drunk.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm just really happy.
Because you had an imperial something before the show.
I feel great.
Okay. She had imperial water.
Tiffany, you mentioned something about women being underrepresented in beer. Is that really true? I mean, obviously, half of people that work in beer aren't female, which, of course, they'd be fully represented. But of anybody that's interested, do you really see any barrier for them to enter in any way? Do you feel like anything needs to be facilitated for women to enter the beer world? It seems easy to me. I don't know of a female brewer that says, I can't get a job. Nobody wants to hire me because I'm female. I don't see that at all. It's like they can go right into a brewery easily.
No, I think, honestly, I think it's just a generational thing, and I think it's changing constantly.
Anything is wrong with it, it's being fixed as it sort
I think
of develops,
it's being,
right?
It's definitely being fixed
That's what
right
I've
now.
Seen, yeah.
I mean, 8 years ago, if I went into a bar trying to sell beer, someone's like,
yeah, what do you know about it?
Well, what do you drink beer?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane. No, women don't drink beer.
That's all behind us.
It is behind us.
But not for other people in the country, it's not, though.
But
different areas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Bay Area is a very select area.
Yeah.
If you go to other parts, it's not.
They're back
this
in
way.
This. Don't, yeah.
Yeah. I even went to Kenya one time and was in a brewery, and someone said, what are you doing here? Women don't drink beer. And I said, what do they drink? And he goes, milk. That's what women drink. Women don't drink beer.
Wow. So did you pound a six-pack right in front of him? See?
Yeah, the finest export stout.
Yeah.
So other chapters of Pink Boots might be more of facilitators or hey, brewery, why don't you have any female brewers? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things that comes with generations. Like 20 years ago, you didn't have as many female brewers, just like there weren't as many craft brewers.
Sure.
And I think with the craft brew industry being so being more and more accepting of women and having more women at the top who might see something that's either going to inhibit women from being approachable on a beer or, because there are some marketing things that are maybe a little bit sexist. So having people at the top who are women who might say that's a bad idea has changed things. And as more women get involved, people start realizing that this isn't just this isn't a man cave. This is the craft beer industry.
What's wrong with that?
Somebody once said, we're here where beer, get used to it. And I think that's a lot of the women in the industry this day.
Hmm.
Great.
Can I ask you about some of that marketing? and you don't have to speak for all women, obviously, although feel free, you're the one on the radio. Like there's some marketing like that, like beer's called like Ditzy Blonde, or I forget whatever the other one was that like caused a stink.
Oh, you're
a couple
talking
years ago.
the quote unquote rape culture in beer marketing?
Yeah, I forget which. Well, and I'm not talking about that specifically, but that was one of the beers. Yeah. The things like that bother you? You know, if a beer's called like Ditzy Blonde, it just feels it's a little too.
Well, I guess if it has a name that's like that, I might question like how good this beer is. Because, I mean, if it was a phenomenal beer, they could just call it our Blonde Ale. Because it's so good, we're never going to make another one.
All right.
I see what you mean. So the marketing itself is like making up for...
If they're doing that, then I question like the actual quality of the beer.
Well, if you have to market something, I think it's already, you know, implies that you don't need the thing to begin with. But, hey, let's just use this thing. You know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to really push... in that respect, getting a really funny, clever name all the time, really trying to go for that home run of a beer name.
Sure.
The quality should speak for itself. That's why we kind of brew beer on a homebrew level, but also a craft brew level. Mm-hmm. We want to make the best beer that we can, and the beer should, I think, speak for itself more than the marketing in that sensational kind of way.
And you probably spend a lot more time on your homebrew recipe than what you're going to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is about none.
Actually, no. I always think of what I'm going to call it first, and then
this is called I Have a Beard Brown Ale.
Have you, in your careers in beer, have you ever had to maybe tell a brewery that name you just thought of isn't really cool?
I've said no to breweries that tried to hire me.
Yeah, because
for that
of
reason.
The okay.
Yeah,
I see. Because you think because that shows kind of a sign that maybe they're not in line
well,
with your...
maybe I'm not going to be. Maybe it's not going to be in line with my ethos, but also I'm not going to be jazzed about selling something that I don't agree with.
Right.
And how did BrewDog take that when you did it?
Yeah. And you, Erica, have you ever had to like comment on a beer name or anything like that, or a marketing campaign?
I haven't yet, but I've definitely come close to it. I mean, there's definitely a lot of questionable practices out there, but you kind of gotta find the right time and place to say something about it.
Sure. Firestone's pretty. I don't know if PC is the right word, but they're very aware.
PC.
They're pretty
mellow?
PC.
They're very British.
They're
kind of boring.
Proper. Yeah, the worst that they got was when they had a Velvet Merkin, but then even that they changed.
No, there's still Velvet Merkin.
It's
out there.
Specific,
what are you talking about?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I thought that they totally flipped on that.
I have a Merkin contest every year in the city.
Really?
Show me your Merkin.
I remember Matt saying something like that. Like it didn't fly, but maybe they reversed the...
Yeah, because that's how we got Velvet Merlin, because it wasn't flying.
Well, we've got Merlin because Matt Brendelson, his nickname is Merlin. So that's where that beer comes from, because his roots are brewing nitro beers and stouts. So that's where that comes from. Velvet Merkin, I'm not totally sure the history of that.
Yeah.
But the Merkin's still out there. It still exists.
Okay. Yeah, I swear that they stopped for a bit, but I don't know.
I thought it was a different beer. That's why there was Merlin and Merkin at the same time.
Well, Merlin and Merkin are different.
Right.
Merkin is barrel-aged Merlin.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought the distinction was.
Yeah, and Merkin only comes out once a year.
Yeah.
You know, people only want to show that once in a while.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about? Can I just call out this brewery? And
what is it? What does it rhyme with?
Yeah.
What does it rhyme with?
Which one did you say, Kim?
Palo Alto Brewing Company. Happy Ending. Barley Legal.
Oh, Happy Ending.
Well, Kim has an agenda right now.
Yeah. She's venting. Let's see who
she
doesn't like.
Palo Alto Brewing Company, and they have a beer called Happy Ending, and then another one called, what was the other one?
Barley Legal.
Oh, Barley Legal.
Statutory rank's hilarious.
So you don't okay. So that's over the line. Like
it's not what you're talking about.
Like Barley Legal is no, it's not. But I can see how that one's
it's not statutory. It's on the other side of it.
Happy Ending's kind of funny though. No.
Have you seen the artwork?
No.
Okay, it's atrocious. Look it up.
Isn't it just
a smiley face?
It's not just.
With like a,
here's a, okay.
Well, didn't they have to put that over
Use a
it?
Microphone. Yeah.
I think they had to add
I don't
smiley
know.
Face to it because the original artwork was so offensive.
Oh, probably.
The smiley face is covering something
so
up.
Who knows what that means.
I'm not going to name
I'm deeply offended by that.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty, yeah.
I'm not going to name breweries, but a brewery in Eugene also had a statutory rate one.
Had a what?
Had one that did, that referred to date rape, and they got their windows smashed out. I don't know who did it, but I mean that's one where even the whole community was outraged.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of exciting, is like, if you actually, it shouldn't just be like the Pink Boot Society should be like, oh, that's a bad idea. I think it should be something where if you're going that far, the whole community should be outraged.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of the beer? You don't have to name the brewery, but because I'm just wondering if that was the one that we talked about.
I know what you're talking about in the cans.
Yeah,
it was like a doll or something like that. I'm trying to look it up right now, but I can't.
And that's why I was thinking that maybe it was that was the one that was like Ditzy Blonde or something like that.
No, there's another Ditzy Blonde beer, but there's I don't remember the brewery.
Particularly blonde ales that. The marketing is just—it's terrible.
Oh, God! It's from this is it, but they've changed it. Oh, goes down easy. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, that wasn't the one I was thinking of.
Dallas Blonde.
Oh, that's right.
Goes down easy.
What? It sounds like a good beer with salt in it.
I still think it's funny. It's a blonde ale. I don't know. It's not Goza.
Oh
yeah, it just goes down.
Oh, never
so
mind.
The brewery that I was thinking of, it's. And I saw it at GABF, and I hadn't really paid attention to it, but other people were talking about it, so I was like, I gotta go see that. But the logo for Belching Beaver.
Yeah. Belching Beaver? Or is it, there's another one, there's Colorado
one,
too.
Like lady parts.
There's one in Colorado that's also a beaver that's... it's a bit more detailed in the artwork.
Oh, really? So yeah. Maybe I'm not even thinking
so
about...
So you can see what that would be cause more about.
So here's one, Jay. You can read the tweet there on the phone.
The middle one here?
Yeah.
That's not a real one, though.
That's the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
Mouth Raper IPA.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
That's mouthful. Raper?
Yeah.
How
also
and that
remember that
happened
like
that was a beer like that happened.
Was that a packaged beer or just a brew pub?
Yeah, I can't imagine that,
because how could the
label,
I can't imagine
it's a big enough
TTB
brewery.
Approving it.
Exactly. Well, makes you wonder how the TTB approves a lot of the labels.
Yeah.
That are
well, that's
out.
What I was going to say. It's really unfortunate how many people these things have to go through to be approved.
Well,
and it's not just one person has this ridiculous idea, but that it goes through so many to be approved to actually make it a real label on the market.
Was it a label on the market, or was it like an over the counter draft thing with that one specifically?
Well, I think it was released draft, and then, but it's a company that actually does bottle and everything.
Okay.
But I think as soon as it was out in Eugene, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess either way, it doesn't matter.
Did they retract and like make a public apology or anything like that?
I can't remember, but I feel like they fought
gnarly.
It for a few days or so.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you? You're like. Come on, guys. I mean, really, like,
this
come
is a
on.
Great
like,
idea.
Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with rape? Yeah, I mean, it was something like that. It was pretty horrible.
Wow.
It's called a mouth wrapper, and then you put duct tape over the mouth.
Seriously.
And it's fine.
Like, I'm not, so I'm really not politically correct, and sometimes I'm really wrong when I say stupid things, too.
Sometimes.
I remembered the retraction.
Oh.
The retraction was that they were sending it out to accounts. With a cap that said MR, and they were like, no, it's like Mr. IPA. It's not Mouth Raper IPA. It's
so
Mr. IPA.
That's terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
We cover up.
That one's pretty gnarly. Like, so what I said, like, I have this general theory, and sometimes it's wrong, but that if it's funny, it's not offensive, right? Like in comedy, like people using the N-word, like if it's, I don't care if it's funny.
What word is
because
that?
The point is to be funny.
Right.
And the point is not to be malicious or to...
insensitive or anything like that.
Or to push an agenda
right.
that is either chauvinistic or racist or something else. So as a general rule, I say that if it's funny, then it doesn't matter, but that's neither funny or like that one's gnarly.
Well, I think that's like Palo Alto Brewing Company. That is how they see it, is that it's funny, it's a pun, but it's still atrocious.
Yeah.
Well, and the
especially
hoppy
when
ending.
You add the image. I was almost going to argue about that one,
yeah.
Even though I get the point of how. But then seeing the image coupled with it, that's pretty.
And the image is a hop on a massage table.
Yeah.
With a blonde.
Yeah.
Touching
like
the hop
happy
under
ending.
A sheet or something.
Ending.
Yeah, that's a little too much for me. I mean, and plus
overt.
The woman in the label isn't even Asian, so it's just totally not even right.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on.
That's how out of touch they are.
Yeah.
So, Kim, safe to say that there will be no happy endings at the end of this interview with you? Or is that... No?
Oh, I thought that was Vivo that we were talking about earlier. No one here is on my list at all, so...
What?
Well,
Kim, come on.
Offended. I'm super offended.
I know.
I think...
The three of us are offended.
Yeah. The males in the studio.
Exactly. Kim and I are on the same page.
Wow.
None of y'all made the cuts.
That's not true. We already established I'm number two.
We all agreed.
So if I had two lists and everybody on the first list died, I'm not even sure that you would be number two on the list.
I can
on the second list.
Is everyone else tied for first? That's why you're second.
I have known you. So I can see you're lying. I can see it on your face. Right? I know what you.
I have known you so long that you should know I'm not lying.
I think that Kim Shimke's list is about 800 people long. And I might. And I'm not on it.
You're 801.
I'm 801. Yeah.
Hey, but you're on the list.
I'm pretty sure you have to be taller than you to be on the list.
But I'm on the list. All right.
You're on page the other side of the list, the back side.
Well, we've got more women in beer to speak to. Did I miss anything about events and stuff? Did we finish that list? We got the event coming up at the Good Hop on the 24th, right? Anything else? You need to get out there.
We got a free house coming up on the 27th.
Okay.
Events. I mean, if you check out the Beer Week website, we've got all the Firestone Walker and the field work events listed on there, so people can see what we're doing.
Cool.
We have a lot of events.
Yeah, and we also do like Pink Boots Facebook, so people can check out what we've got coming up if women out there want to join in.
Yeah, if you're a woman in beer, please just become friends with Erica and I on Facebook. It makes it a lot easier. And Erica Talbot, Tiffany McFarlane on Facebook. And we'll add you to our super secret group.
Okay.
We don't find it creepy. We're used to it.
And you can find the group. If people forget your names, they can go to the Pink Boot Society website and find the local chapter there, too.
Yeah, you can find your local chapter, and then it'll connect you right to us if you're a local.
If you're local. Or anywhere else you can go. We have listeners everywhere.
You have to get jumped in or, like, dump out some Budweiser down the drain to get in.
Yeah, what's the initiation?
Are you a prospect at one point? What's going on?
I don't really tell you what the initiation is.
I think it's secret.
Uh-oh. Would I have to prove that I have a vagina?
Oh, good question.
Maybe. I don't know. And,
how? Has anybody ever come in and you're like, I don't know, show us the vagina.
Yeah, what if I'm in transition? What if I'm fluid? Can I join without a vagina?
If you're not a woman, you have to be a woman.
I don't see gender.
We're pretty accepting. We can make
you
some exceptions.
Yeah. Okay.
No, maybe not for you guys.
Can be a
I don't blame you. Listen.
For other people. We're a pretty open-minded group.
So if we have a beard,
the other direction.
That's pretty much no if we have a beard.
You can make exceptions, but you also have to have standards. I guess.
We've got standards.
Just
you
like
know,
Kim.
You know.
It's a whole thing.
All right, you can go to pinkbootssociety.org and check it out if you want more information about the group and find out about upcoming events or how you can help. Especially if you're a brewery and you want to help the Pink Boots Society out, raising money for some of the scholarships and things like that. So go check it out. Tiffany, Erica, thank you for coming on the program. Also, by the way, we're doing a field work event here for SF Beer Week 2.
I will be here. So
on
if anyone
Friday
comes,
the 22nd.
If anyone comes to that, they can ask me about Pink Boots.
There we go. Excellent. All right. Thanks for coming in. When we come back, we're going to be talking to a couple ladies from an organization called Grisette Nouveau. So hang in there. It's The Session, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Brewcasters.
The Brewcasters
on the Brewing Network.
Tampa Bay has become a great destination for craft beer lovers with more than 60 breweries and counting, like Cigar City, Tampa Bay, and Coppertail Brewing. One of the newest breweries is Four Stacks Brewing Company in Apollo Beach. Four Stacks believes that the West Coast can't have all the fun. So while we feature West Coast beer like Stone, Ballast Point, and Green Flash on tap, we also brew hopped up ales to our liking in the West Coast style, even as they're truly Florida. Come in and see for yourself. Four Stacks hosts monthly homebrew club meetings, bottle shares, and partners with local restaurants for free food delivery while you enjoy your pint in their new tap room. Stop by Four Stacks Brewing and support the greater Tampa Bay craft beer scene at a brand new community-oriented independent brewery. Four Stacks Brewing, bringing the best of the West Coast style and attitude. Four Stacks Brewing Company in Apollo Beach, Florida.
Putting hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contracts, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small, single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. Do you like to mash using efficient fly sparging, but would like an easy way to heat your strike and sparge water? Enter the new Brewer's Edge electric mash water heater, a plug-in, anywhere, precisely controlled heater for strike and sparge water. Ditch the fumes and second burner and make mashing easy. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
If you haven't heard, there's a completely new brand of brewing equipment. Kettles, burners, and accessories. Trustworthy everyday gear that helps you forge and shape outstanding beer the way you want. It's called Anvil Brewing Equipment.
Hi, I'm John Palmer. You may remember me from such self-help books as How to Brew, Brewing Classic Styles, Water, and the Brew Strong Podcast. I am very pleased to announce the debut of Anvil Brewing Equipment from Blickman Engineering. I have been working closely with them these past few years to develop products that combine the best of materials, features, and price point. Each of these products has been developed, tested, and reviewed to meet these ideals and bears the Palmer Brewing Solutions stamp of approval on the packaging. Anvil Brewing Equipment, inspired by Palmer, built by Blickman, and made for you.
Check out AnvilBrewing.com. Anvil. Durable. Reliable. Dependable.
Into this session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Well, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. 888-401-BEER if you want to call in and ask questions tonight, or you can hit the chat button. It's on our homepage under community. And Bevo's in there taking your questions for us. Hey, don't forget about our good friends over at Beersmith. You can go to beersmith.com right now and check out the Beersmith home brewing software. You get a free 21-day trial. You just download it. You can check it out on your PC or your Mac. It is the most comprehensive brewing software out there. A lot of the pro brewers that we talk to in here also use the Beersmith brewing software. But you don't have to take our word for it, because you get a free little trial, and then you're going to buy it anyway. So know right now that if you go take the 21-day trial, you're going to end up sending your money to Beersmith because it's such a cool piece of software. And he's got a podcast over there. Brad does. He's had a lot of great guests, and he does a DVD series. He's got How to Brew All Grain with John Palmer. You can purchase that. So I would say that it's the best other place from the Brewing Network than the Brewing Network to learn about cool stuff and get help brewing. Go to beersmith.com. Check it out right now. All right. In the studio right now, we have Kirby Bennett and Amanda Poe from, and I hope I say it right, Grisette Nouveau?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. What is Grisette Nouveau?
Well, Grisette, do you want, like, the etymology of the words? Because we can definitely give you that.
Well, Grisette was a beer style, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So,
what was it?
Well, like, as saisons are for, like, provisions for farm workers, Grisette was provisions for miners. And gris is a French word meaning gray.
Okay.
So it sort of signified, like, the garb that females wore when they were serving men of the mines. Mm-hmm. This, like, really light-bodied, like, spontaneously fermented beer.
Okay.
But it also came to be known as, like an independent woman in the Renaissance who was, like, you know, took on lots of lovers and, you know, was kind of anti-status quo as well. So
That was a grisette also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, like, Kirby and I met through, like, our jobs at McKellar, and we wore a lot of gray at the time, so it was, like, sort of a play on the fact that we were, like, wearing gray, working in the beer industry. We didn't really want any sort of, like, demeaning, like, beer wench terms to describe ourselves, because we felt very, like, strong in our role, like, serving beer and working in the industry, and grisette was a more positive way to describe, like, what we were doing. And then Nouveau sort of talks about, like, a resurgence of, like, a particular known thing or, like, the newness of it.
Also, like, grammatically, it's actually incorrect, because grisette is a female word, and the version of nouveau that we used is actually masculine.
Okay.
Which actually ties into what we wanted as a collective. Like, we are both active members of the local Pink Boots Society chapter, and we kind of saw that, and that's an awesome, like, way for women in the industry, but we're like, well, we want more diversity than that. We want, like, we want our beer to be brewed by, like, a drag queen or, like, a trans person or a person of color. So how do we get even more diversity into our world and into our industry? It was a kind of a play on words.
Okay.
Where we were like, we took one gender and put it against another gender in the same phrase.
Nice.
So if you, like, actually speak French, you would look at it and be like, that's not right. Like,
right. But so your group, so Grisette Nouveau is more geared toward diversity than just, say, women in beer.
Absolutely. Yes. And okay. We also feel very strongly about including men in this collective, because, you know, personally, I wouldn't be where I am today without, you know, the amazing managers that I've had in my life.
And okay.
I thought you were talking about man. I'm like, yes!
Well, I mean,
without the man.
Without the amazing man.
Without the man. I just feel very strongly about, we love, like, inclusion.
Okay.
And that is what we strive for in our collective.
You're not looking to set apart from men or anything
not
else.
At all.
Just, okay.
Not in the slightest. If a man wanted to join our collective, we're happy to do that. I mean, right now, it's just us and another friend.
There's three of you.
There are three of us.
Sounds very lonely right now.
You know, it's wonderful.
It's the loneliest
number. We've done collaborations, and we've, you know, we've done a lot of educational events, and we've had men and women, and, you know, and everything in between, and we love that. And that's what we... Our whole goal is education in the beer community.
That's what I want to know. It's mm-hmm. like, really, what is the mission? Because we've talked about that it's diversity, but what are you looking to do? And it sounds like the mission is to educate people about beer.
Yeah, we want to kind of, like, decloud, like, demystify the industry for people who you know, everybody talks about this like big boom in the craft beer industry and everybody wants to get in and everyone's like, I want to be a brewer. I want to be a brewer. But nobody really knows what that entails when they say that.
Okay.
Or, not
even like people are
people.
Like, I want to drink beer and yeah. I want to be able to talk about it.
Or like, oh, right. I just made $1 million because I sold my stock in my startup. I'm going to start a brewery.
Yeah.
Like, how do I get into the industry? Like, how do
Please
I become
do
a,
help those yeah. people for
well,
us.
Well, see, right. I don't think that that's necessarily like where we're going, but yeah. I think that that's just another example of the fact that like the craft beer industry is a really huge thing right now, you know,
yeah.
and a lot of people are super into beer, but you know, it people need more education, and our goal is just to be educated, provide that education, encourage people to start somewhere, anywhere, pick up a book, you know,
yeah.
and do that. And that's what we've done from day one, like before we even started our collective. And that's what we want to continue to do.
I like this idea and of trying to be inclusive to people and make it, you know, so that it's not scary, the education part. So even like, so with our bar, the Hop Grenade, kind of by default, because we've been doing this for so long and because we are beer nerds here and we know about beer and we know all these breweries, like our starting point was to build this beer nerd bar, which is exactly what I didn't want to do. I didn't want the community to feel like, well, you have to know about beer to go in there. You're going to be treated like, you know, they'll look at you funny if you don't know what's on the menu. And it's the opposite of what I wanted. I wanted it to feel much more homey and more inclusive. If you wanted to learn about beer here, you could do that. Or if you knew tons about beer and you wanted to geek out with one of our bartenders, you could also do that.
And what went wrong?
Well, what I have to say about that, that's like going like onto a college campus and expecting that you're going to feel like a senior when mm-hmm. you're a freshman. You know, mm-hmm. it's if you want to know something about a particular subject, it is on your shoulders to learn that. And the yeah. thing is, in this community, you have incredible resources. And we, you know, we're lucky that we get to be a part of the Pink Boots Society. You know, we're lucky that we have incredible people that we've met that have always striven to, like, support everyone around them. We've worked with amazing managers. We've worked with great beer education. But, you know, we are where we are today in the beer industry because we've striven, like, to educate ourselves. And
right.
I think that is actually what's the most important that's the most important thing. If you're going to drink something, you might as well know about it. If you're going to eat something, you might as well know what you're putting sure. into your body. And I don't think that there's any excuse to be like naive about beer.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a little bit harsh, but at the same time, like, educate yourself. And along the way, like, we can be a resource for you.
Sure.
We will gladly brew with someone that has no idea what they're doing, and we're still learning. We can talk through it all, you know,
yeah.
with them. But pick up a book. I mean, we reference books when we're like going into the, you know, the homebrew store. We will literally have our books open to
yeah.
like hot profiles.
As
be like,
you
what's
should.
The best for this, you know? But experiment, read more, do more. Like, that's kind of what we're all about,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. I feel like I should learn about radio since I mean, write this down. Learn about my career.
It's also, I don't know. I think that's like sometimes there's like a cloud around that, you know? Like, people go into it and they're like, oh, you know, either like it's just beer, like I can do this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like they probably make like a semi-decent beer from, you know, the malt kit at the homebrew store.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can not go past that, or you can like really geek out about it and like get all the books and do that. But like, I think that we are really lucky that we came into this industry in this time, because, you know, 15, 20 years ago, there weren't, you know, you couldn't have an entire library of brewing books. There was like maybe two
yeah.
or three out there.
Yeah.
And the online resources.
The joy of homebrewing and
yeah.
how
yeah.
to brew. Like, those
yeah.
were the, yeah.
Absolutely.
A few others, I guess. But yeah,
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And now there is a plethora if you want to go out. But
absolutely.
But even with that, you know, like, we have this, you know, here on the Brewing Network, this enormous resource of you know, how to brew.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still having a hands-on, you know, being able to, like you're saying, like being able to come brew with you is still a better way to get into it every time. Like, there's very few of our listeners who are like, I'm reading all the books and then I'm going
to
brew. Most people go brew.
You have to
and then figure out the rest
it.
Later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's so fun. Like,
it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I shot you an email about, like, kind of what we were about, and I was like, our style is is it weird? Can we put it in a beer? Let's do it.
We'll
like brew hot water and like pour it over random things like peppercorns to like smell them and taste them. And then we're like, maybe let's put this in a beer.
Okay.
And then you can look up like 15 recipes or even like 1500 recipes that say like add this much to your beer, and you're like, well, I'm somewhere in the ballpark of one gram to like a pound, so let's throw it all in.
So how long have you two been home brewing then?
Well, together, not very long. Okay. I mean, maybe we like started our months. We started Grisette Nouveau sometime middle of last year, 2015.
Okay.
Maybe a little like err on the side of like beginning of 2015, because we came together after we'd worked together for a while, and we were like, Kirby said, I want to host a homebrew competition. And I was like, well, I've never entered a homebrew competition. I've never been to a homebrew competition, and we've certainly never hosted one, but let's do that. That sounds wonderful. So we were like, well, we might as well make a beer together.
Wow.
And we started doing that, and we hosted a homebrew competition.
What did you make? What was that first beer you guys
made? Well, actually, the first beer that we made was a collaboration with Woods.
The Woods Brewery.
Yeah, there's Cervecerias, like, big sister. They're located in Oakland, like uptown or downtown. Uptown,
right by the Fox Theater.
Right by the Fox Theater.
Okay.
And
it was a pink peppercorn grisette, and we collaborated with Sam Bennett on it, and it was amazing.
Okay.
It was amazing. It turned out so beautiful. I mean, we were like, oh, we're Grisette Nouveau. We have to make a grisette, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was really excited because it was a style he hadn't made before.
Yeah. And he came on as a brewer for them and was sort of fangirled because he had been an intern for Oxbow, and they're one of my favorite breweries. And, and so I let the company know that I was like super fangirl about, you know, his brewing.
Excellent.
Mostly because I just love Oxbow, and there are a few beers, especially when I was like studying beer, like, you know, my friends and I did like a Monday night, every single Monday night drinking beer sort of thing. And
do you think you creeped him out?
Like, I think I might have. I mean, you know,
he's kind of weird towards you.
He just came into my work last night with his girlfriend. They had a great time with their friends. No, he's like, come in anytime. And he actually took us through.
And his girlfriend fell down unexpectedly. We don't know how. She slipped. And so I'm bringing her soup. It's amazing.
I sent them a lot of desserts, but I won't say what was in that. No,
She wants the antidote. She can call me.
He's amazing. And the company's amazing. They're really...
They're like, a cool company.
Connected with the community. And we're so excited to have us with them. And they allowed us to sit and do a meeting with him where we literally built the recipe ourselves with him from the ground up.
So
it wasn't like a collaboration where he had this idea of what he was going to build. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Well, what I'm thinking is, because this sounds great, and it sounds like such a cool experience, but you're saying to me this was your first brew.
Together.
So I think my point was, like, what I wanted to ask is like, why? Why did you guys get to do all that? Like, in other words, what was your background Woods was like, hey, we should brew with the two of you?
So my first beer job ever was actually Abbott Cellar, and I sort of like muscled / begged my way in. Because I was like, you know, I really want to work in this industry, please. Like, I'll even host, like, whatever it is. I just want to be a part of your education.
Okay.
I want to learn everything about beer. And they said, okay. I just, like, smiled a lot and was like, I said, please, you know. And
that'll get you far away, that's for sure.
It was wonderful. You know, they had an incredible education program. The owners, like Christian and Nat, did an amazing job setting up the program. And then their cicerone, Mike Reese, he works for Lime Ventures now, did such an amazing job educating the staff.
Okay.
I had a great time working there. So they also sought out like collaborations for our company, like Monk's Kettle and Abbott Cellar.
I see.
So we worked with Cerveceria when they were still like a wee little shop, you know, on 18th and Church.
Yeah.
And we did a few collaborations with them. So I became good friends with the owners of the company, and then as they've grown, it's gotten like we still have a great connection. And
and I've known them actually too as well, because I've volunteered at their beer runch, their annual beer week brunch thing at the Public House a couple times the last 2 years. So it's kind of like, it was just like a natural collaboration. We're like, oh, Woods. And also, like, I think that our style too, like, we're both super foodies.
Okay.
So we're like,
I don't think we've made a beer yet where we haven't added some kind of food to it.
Excellent.
Or something
or
weird.
Spicy,
yeah.
Or something weird, you know? Okay. So I think that their style, like, really melded with, like, our style. And so.
So it, how it was big just, was the batch of beer? And then do you, I'm curious how much of the peppercorn, the pink peppercorns you put in.
So I think they have, like, a 3.5 barrel system.
Okay.
And we did a pound of pink peppercorns.
Mm-hmm. A pound of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fun part about that, it felt like a triple collaboration because some of my previous history in the industry was volunteering my time at Fort Point when they were still a bit smaller because I knew, actually through Cerveceria, they're like an incredible resource and have been for me. They introduced me to the head brewer of Mill Valley Beer Works, okay. Mike Schneebeck, who also now he's the head brewer of Fort Point.
That's not a real name.
Okay.
Schneebeck?
Schneebeck.
It's like a Dr. Seuss riddle.
And so they introduced me to him. I helped them bottle beer one time at Mill Valley Beer Works, and then I just like hounded him forever and said, please let me come to Fort Point and watch like the brewing process and help you. He helped me study for the Cicerone certification.
Nice.
And he was a great resource. And so we used yeast from their Park beer in our beer. And it just was an incredible, like, melding of all these really beautiful flavors. And
excellent.
It was a really, really wonderful night. Like, we had brewers come and, you know, congratulate us on a really successful brew. And then Kirby and I were like, well, you know, we learned a lot just brewing these beers and going and lending our time and hand. And we've taken that home and, mm-hmm. and, you know, we've sweeted a lot of things, you know, like.
So can you give me an example of some of the other strange ingredients or other foods? Let's talk about some things you've put in beer.
We recently made a porter with chamomile and cacao nibs.
Okay.
Right now we have two beers fermenting. We have that we're actually going to pour during beer week at Pinballs for Pints. We have a saison with a local orange blossom honey, and then we're going to put it on secondary on in Buddha's hands. And then we have a champagne beer.
I'm excited about this one. This is one that I've been like.
When we went to the homebrew store, the grain bill, when we milled it and put it back in the bag and, like, you know, wrote on it what it was so they could charge us, the woman took it and was like, well, that's interesting.
Which is, like, okay.
She was like, no, it sounds fun. And I was like, I'll bring you a bottle if it turns out well. I mean, you know.
We used, like, a base lambic recipe, and then we're using her boyfriend's father's champagne yeast, and then we're gonna put it on. We're gonna put it in secondary on strawberries and rose hips. The idea around it is to make like a kind of like a rosé champagne beer.
Yeah.
So
I want that beer.
Yeah,
that sounds really good
now. We'll bring you a bottle.
That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
I promise.
We'll taste it on the air.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds like a really
good idea. If it's really good.
No, don't be. Can you do the first tasting on the air?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite beers is the Hansen's, like, Udbeje. I'm probably mispronouncing it completely, Udbeje.
I think it's pronounced
Mhop. I think.
Yeah. Great song.
I can't believe that's like a thing now. By the way,
I know.
It's like a thing.
Neither can we.
It's kind of amazing, right?
We've had the beer. Yeah, it's a thing.
Really, is it good?
We brewed an oatmeal IPA, but when we went to bottle it, her cat ate all the priming sugar,
like a lot of the priming sugar.
Wow, is that healthy for a cat?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, well, then fuck
it. The thing is, it was in Kirby's hands because I was away, and I was like, if you kill my cat,
yeah,
the cat's okay. He shops at Walmart now.
The cat is okay, and the beer didn't turn out very well. But
every time Erica brews on the side. He's like sniffing around. What are you brewing?
I need that powder. I need that China girl. I need that white girl.
You know, we like keep our priming sugar like very, very far away from them now.
Now.
Yeah, now that we know that he's a fiend for it.
Wow. Little crackhead.
But, you know, that was like actually one of our like very first beers, and it didn't turn out. It was actually, it smelled incredible. And then we were
we
need some way.
If we had priming sugar.
Yeah, it would have been great if it was carbonated. So what I did instead was I took a whole bunch of bottles to work. And we like carbonate a lot of our cocktails. Mm-hmm. So we just poured it into bottles and carbonated the beer.
Okay.
And then we drank it, and it was amazing.
And it was good.
It was such a good beer. So I was like, we're definitely going to brew this again.
I still have a six pack in my fridge. I just have to go buy a soda stream.
Soda stream. How are you, for all your undercarb needs.
How are you fermenting all of these beers?
I mean, we've made one. We're like trying our hand at our very first lager. So we're using Kirby's.
I have a kegerator.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's lagering there. But otherwise,
in a carboy? Just inside
of it?
Yeah. Okay.
And we're doing
otherwise
that.
We use her apartment because it's. A little bit cooler in temperature, a little more steady in temperature than mine is. So.
Okay.
And not much. I mean, we.
And also, she
my hallway doesn't
equipment.
Have like any light, so you know. It's.
But we did actually transport the lager from her house to my house, and so it actually works for aerating the lager.
Oh,
like,
nice!
I put it in a milk crate and I tied it down in the back of my car, and then I went on the 580, and it was like
the worst.
And I was like, oh, now it's aerated.
Okay, that's not a bad idea. Take your wort for a ride, Tasty.
Yeah.
We need to add that to
our. I've been overdoing
aeration.
Bottle oxygen.
Just go for a little
my
drive.
Thinking, I just put it in the car. Go for a trip.
But your carbon footprint is much lower.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, I don't have a Prius.
I don't have a driver's license, and I've like never really driven. So in essence. We're not really contributing. Like, if you combine that, you know, Kirby's not doing much.
Okay.
She's a pedestrian, so she offsets my carbon footprint.
I do.
Perfect. What does your brew system look like? What are you guys brewing on? How big is it? How many gallons? Things like that.
5 gallon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stovetop?
Mm-hmm.
Stovetop.
Unfortunately, like, we've discussed the, like, whole Bunsen burner, like, large setup in my kitchen, but,
yeah.
You know, I'd feel really bad if we burned, like, our entire apartment building down.
Yeah, that's frowned upon.
That's totally a joke, but we have some friends that do have that, so we've discussed.
Yeah. We did discuss it. And we decided it was a bad idea.
And we did decide it was a bad idea. It was more of a flip a coin sort of thing, so fate was with us on that.
You could just get a fire extinguisher and go for
very
it.
True.
Cover the whole room in aluminum foil.
Healing, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
Especially the windows.
Clogs, yeah. Windows, yeah. Everything.
Protects your beer and from NSA.
Exactly.
So are you doing extract beer then? No, you're doing all grain that way?
Yeah. I've actually never brewed extract.
Look at you go.
It just seems like a kind of a big sticky mess. Like, I've already had some difficulties with honey. So, like, I don't know if I could do like a larger version of that.
So what do you have for a mash tun in an apartment? Like a igloo?
No, actually.
Have a false bottom in the boil pot.
You're not brewing a bag? Yeah.
No.
No, we have a false. Oh, we have the big pot with the false bottom.
Sure.
So we boil the water and mash in the same pot.
How do you get the green out?
Yeah.
It has a spout on it. We use a like vinyl tube,
and then we go into the empty lot next door and dump all the grain.
So you just go. You have another kettle.
Yeah, we have another kettle.
Well, another
kettle. No. We have another kettle that also has we like suited it and put a spigot on that as well, so that we can drain that into our carboy after we chill it. My boyfriend and I worked on an immersion wort chiller. We built that. Just a lot of copper wiring.
This is the guy who works at Woods or whatever?
No.
I'm fucking with you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, like fanboy?
Yeah,
he just sits in a chair that we duct tape into and he helps us through.
Excellent.
That's how we do everything. Yeah.
He's
like calling 911
still.
Yeah.
He's mummified.
Yeah. He's not around anymore.
But you guys
talk
made
to him, but he won't answer.
You made a chiller.
Yeah. Yeah, we just used copper copper tubing. We got a pond pump, some vinyl tubing,
and then a lot of ice.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but we also are like one of our biggest goals when we brew together. We just did a double brew the other day because we try to conserve water when we're brewing. And we also use like freezer bags, so we save the water and freeze that again in the freezer so that we don't use a lot of the water. And then we use a lot of tubs to run our water off so that we can wash all of our equipment in that as well.
Okay.
That's one of our like biggest goals is to not, you know, use
as much water. Yeah.
As much water.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite beer that you...
All right. Like, you don't believe them at all. You're like,
okay.
Sure.
What's your favorite beer that you've made? The favorite result?
I think the peppercorn grisette so far.
The first one?
Yeah. Well, that was really fun.
What's your favorite steak?
Yeah. This show, probably.
Well, that wasn't a homebrew.
One of my favorite things that we made was actually the chamomile porter, because it was the longest brew day of my life.
Okay.
Like, it took 10 hours or 11 hours.
That was also
And that was mostly because we got, like, an insane stuck mash, and I think that was because we were... Like, there were a couple of instances with our two beers that we, or like two full grain bags that we got from the homebrew shop that we went to. And I think that their, like, mill was milling too fine. So we got, like, an insanely stuck mash, two beers in a row. And I was at this point where I was like, I give up. I'm never brewing again. And Kirby was like, come on, you love doing this. And I was like, shut up. I totally do love doing this. But I'm not going to admit it right now, because we literally had to, like, sanitize a Pyrex and pull it out and then use a, like...
But it turned out
we were using strainer, and just it was an intense day, lots of really weird processes.
Did you consider stirring in some rice hulls?
You know, at that point, it was so stuck that we literally had to, like, pull out our false bottom, because everything had, like, fallen below it.
We didn't have any rice hulls on hand.
And even with that,
With our schedules, like, we end up brewing at, like, odd hours. Like, we'll be like, it's 9 p.m. Let's start brewing. Oh. Like,
but even with that, I don't think rice hulls would have helped in that particular instance.
Sounds like it may not have. You're right.
Like, completely below
the false bottom. Yeah,
Sticking up our spigot, and it was just lots of like, thank goodness we have, like, a tiny little brush on hand and all this craziness, and we did it, and it is an incredibly delicious beer.
It turned out delicious. Wow. Actually, we have some we're going to be pouring at the Pinballs for Pints event during Beer Week.
Next time, brew it again. How are you going to replicate that mash? You're going to do the same thing, just put it back in?
No.
Yeah, you got to be able to replicate.
I'm a little worried about that, but I think that we might just, like, you know, everyone at the homebrew shop that we go to are, like, incredible resources. So
that's what they like about their job being there.
Yeah, exactly. So going to them and saying, like, hey, this is exactly what we purchased last time. Can you give us any tips so that this doesn't happen again?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good idea.
I have a tip. Next time you get to, like, hour 7, turn the heat up, put on some gloves, carry it outside, and throw it away.
I know. You know, I've been at that point so many times that Curry's like, no, she's the voice of reason. You know, she's that positive angel and the devil on my shoulder. It's like, keep going, you know? And then at midnight, I'm like, wow, we're done. That was not short, but it was real sweet, especially because there's, like, beer all over my floor. But, you know, after brew day, my kitchen looks immaculate. So
just got to clean that up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. Tell me about the homebrew contest you did, which I'm surprised to hear how young the Grisette Nouveau is and that you've already done a homebrew contest. You two are ambitious.
Well, the collective came out of the contest, actually.
Okay.
We were having lunch one day, and we're like, and I was like, oh, I have this idea. Like, let's have this contest, and I want it to be around, like, introducing a little bit more diversity into the, you know, like, we wanted to be, originally we had, like, an idea of it being, like, either women only or, like, you know, like, racial minority only or something like that. We ended up deciding that was, like, too exclusive. Exactly. We wanted to be more inclusive with the industry, and, like, that was what we were about. So we opened it up to everybody, but we were like, if you win, you're gonna get this hot pink ribbon.
Okay.
So if you have a problem with that, then don't enter.
Well, our whole thing is that we were doing this to benefit the Pink Boot Society because we've always really believed in what they do.
Okay.
But we wanted it to be more open, because I think that a lot of people shy away from, like, Pink Boots-esque things and ladies' things.
Okay.
The turnout for that was insanely good for their first event. It was at Local Brewing in Soma, in San Francisco. Yeah. And I was amazed. I mean, these are friends of mine, so I say that even outside of that. But it was really impressive. For someone's very first homebrew event, it was a full house for the entire time that event was going on.
Wow.
We
that's great.
Ended up, our goal, oh, sorry.
I'm sorry, how many entries were there? Just in terms of back to size.
Overall, like, about 20.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. We had the judging day at at my work at the McKellar Bar downstairs in the sour room when it was closed. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do it in one afternoon. But, sure. like, it was such an awesome learning experience in terms of, like, event management, in terms of, like, homebrew itself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to sit in and watch the judges, like, judge all of the entries and, like, to have to set them up and organize them and stuff. Such an amazing, amazing experience.
I
which
bet.
Is why we wanted to do it, to get that experience. But, yeah, we had a really good turnout. We raised, like, over $800 for the Pink Boot Society.
And did you get the diversity you were looking for
Absolutely.
From entrance?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah. So one of our winners, one of our winners was a very new, like, first time, like, one of, yeah. it was, like, first one of his first entries ever.
Okay.
And, you know, he wasn't white.
Great.
He was other. He checked the other box.
Nice. Yeah. What business did he have entering, though?
What do you mean by that?
What do you mean?
I'm kidding.
What do you mean by that?
Gosh, your straight face, like, sort of scared me a little bit.
So he was the first. We ended up doing two categories.
We did
IPA, and then the other category we picked
was
herb spice and vegetable beer.
Interesting.
Because we were like,
good diversity.
Everyone's going to want to enter an IPA.
Well, this is fall.
And then herb spice and vegetable is such a broad category.
You wanted weed beers.
Pretty much. Yeah. I was like, I just really want to get high, so I'm going to organize this competition.
You gotta do it. Instead of just buying a bag.
Yeah. I was looking for the dab cup. What the fuck's going on?
We got some really, like, unique beers across the board, even in the IPA category, especially because we did 2015 BJCP. Mm-hmm. So the IPA was, like, quite a bit more diverse. And it was an incredible opportunity for us to even reach out to the community that we've, like, grown up in, you know, as, like, in this beer industry. We got to reach out to a lot of our older employers, like, places that we frequent often, and they donated gift cards and experiences. And then one of our, like, revenue-driving forces for the event was a raffle that we did.
Okay.
And we raised over $500 in the raffle,
wow.
which was amazing. Yeah. We had to, like, run out and buy more raffle tickets.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And
that's great.
It was a great experience. And Local hosted it, and they were so wonderful as far as all that was concerned. So.
Okay. Regan and Sarah were awesome.
We also
got supportive. We got a new Albion donated a homebrew bicycle. I don't know if you've
seen. Yeah, new Albion
has,
like, a bicycle.
Homebrew bicycle.
So it's like their homebrew series bicycle.
It's like a normal bicycle, but it falls apart.
It leaks.
It tastes like shoe.
Right.
Yeah, so we raffled that off as our grand prize. We contacted
your friends. All ride it and say it's a really good bike. But then they talk crap about it.
Yeah, this is great,
bro. You should fucking sell bikes for a living. Seriously, quit your job and sell bikes.
And they turn away and make that face.
I'm not really into bikes so much, but this is really good.
Yeah. I love it. That's a homebrew.
Those could all be, like, name serviers to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. Was that the grand prize?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And actually, the guy who won it, it was his birthday.
Yeah.
So it was very deserved.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Except for, I think the bike was a bit too small for him.
He was a big guy?
Yeah, he was a little tall. But they did say that they, like, that he could bring it back in and they can figure it out.
They'll swap it out.
It wasn't like a clown car big.
Okay.
It was just, like, you know, a little too short.
It's like a really tall guy in a Mini Cooper.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. He wasn't going to do the Tour de France on it or anything like that. But, you know, it would get him from, like, the hate to the mission.
Yeah. So he's fine. Yeah. Excellent. So with Grisette Nouveau being a collective, I assume people could join?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. We've actually, like, extended offers to people that, like, showed some interest, but I don't know. We haven't really had any people, like, follow through with that.
Okay.
We brew a couple times a month at least.
Okay.
Well, now we're, like, really, like, the heat is under our asses right now because we really need to.
And because beer week.
Yeah. You know.
Okay. We get fined for that.
And, no, it's fine.
Yeah. No, fuck it.
Yeah.
Sweet. It's bullshit. I've been trying not to cuss this whole time.
Oh, you're good.
Well, no, you can't. That's true.
Okay.
We can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We have a license to burp and cuss.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they're men, Kirby.
Oh, don't forget. Right. Don't forget. Okay.
We were going to say it.
Yeah. Women can't cuss because cussing can't be too cute.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the whole fucking thing.
Let us have one thing.
Fuck yeah.
Well. Yeah. Give us, you guys, well, you got to drive, now you got to vote, and now you want to cuss. Yeah. We're giving you beer. Give us, keep, let's keep cussing.
The next thing that we're going to want is like the rights to our own bodies. That's just too crazy.
That's fucked up. Right, you know, that is bullshit.
Yeah. Know, right?
That's where it stops, right?
If that happens, I'm never going to go on a date.
You're never going to go on a date anyway. You're married now.
And then someone's going to name a beer after you.
That'd be amazing.
No, he just gets to date Taryn for the rest of his life.
Yeah. That's amazing, too.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Great. Now you just ruined JP's whole night.
Let's talk about Taryn's night for a second.
Taryn's night's pretty awesome.
She looks forward to Mondays.
She doesn't feel a thing.
Her night on Mondays are awesome. So how can people go find out more information and or join and help you?
Well, we have a website and a Facebook page. We also have an Instagram, and it's all Grisette Nouveau.
So you have to know how to spell.
Yeah, you do. You need to know. Nouveau with an X.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I totally Googled it today. I probably still got it wrong. Yeah.
I'm going to get an alternate spelling site and just put it to like a how to homebrew a bicycle. Like, I don't understand why these people are bicycles. I don't get it.
Yeah. So people can go to the website and contact you there.
Via Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. You know, we do all the things.
Okay.
All the social medias.
We try. I mean, that's not our forte.
Okay.
But, you know,
it happens.
It does happen slowly.
Well, I saw your Facebook page today, so it is. You're not lying. It's there.
It is there. Yes, it's there.
It exists.
Yeah, it does.
Is it a homebrew Facebook page?
Yeah.
Does it taste like shit?
It tastes like shit.
You know, it's one of our, like,
depends on your screen.
Yeah.
I have an LG.
All right, you two. Well, thank you so much for coming in here and talking to us about your collective, Grisette Nouveau. Everybody, you can go check it out. You can Google it, or you can just punch in grisettenouveau.com, I think it is, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to actually spell it?
Yeah,
I mean,
go
you could just,
it.
Like,
yeah.
Say it to Siri, and maybe she'll figure it out.
No, she'll be like, do you want gray wind?
Yeah. Gray wind nomenclature.
Oh! Finally, yeah, fuck it. Yes, Siri. That's what I want.
Okay. I don't want to brew. I want to get in touch with my Native American roots.
Yeah. And I'm tired of arguing with you, Siri.
I need a hairstylist that's Native American.
Yeah, spell it out, please.
Okay, so Grisette, G-R-I-S-E-T-T-E, and Nouveau is N-O-U-V-E-A-U-X.
There you go.
Did I get that right?
Indeed.
Did I get that right?
And we will be at we're pouring for our Beer Week event at...
we'll be at Pinballs for Pints in Alameda. Pouring our beer. Okay. And then
what is
Sunday?
What is that?
Excuse me.
Pinballs for Pints is a Comrades Brewing puts on this event. It's actually, I think, their third year doing it.
Okay.
It's for the Pinball Museum in Alameda.
Oh, cool.
Which I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
No.
Super awesome place. Like all these really old school, like vintage pinball machines.
Can you play them?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. For this event.
Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow, Warren?
I'm going to the Pinball Museum.
Hey, yeah. Can I come with you?
No. Sure.
Well, and on top of that, they don't have enough space to feature all their pinball machines, so a lot of them stay in storage and they rotate them, and apparently like one third is showcased at any time.
Wow.
So every event that they do is to raise money so that they can extend their space and then have more.
They should just charge to come play the game.
Well, they do normally. Oh. Yeah. But for this event,
I got it.
For this event.
But this event, you get beer, too. So like, you pay up front, but then you get free beer.
You should sell beer.
No. But this event, too, you also get to play the pinball machines.
And you
need
a glass, too.
Oh, that's
wow.
Nice.
Glass,
and that
beer
is
Sunday. Like, you pay for the pinballs, and then you get free beer and a glass.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go for the beer, but stay for the pinball.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's Sunday, January 24th, and I believe it's like 3 to 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll be there with some of our latest homebrew.
Yeah.
We've tried our hand at a lager, pilsner.
And then we're gonna pack up and run over to the Good Hop after that. So.
Okay.
Because
Erica, be at the Pink Boots event there.
Great spot.
Natalie Jinx.
Erica and Tiffany said earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
They're doing the Women in Beer.
And Kim.
And Kim.
Yes. Kim will be there.
Oh, Kim's going to be there. I don't want to go then.
At the pinball thing? What's Kim doing?
It was
no one can hear you if you're not on microphone.
Kim might dance on the bar.
Oh, we won't go.
Is that on the flyer? That's what she was saying. Is that on the flyer? Yeah. I don't know.
We will
and then they're
going
to name a beer after that.
What's the email? Sorry. Yeah. That was a secret. Sorry.
Kim dances on the bar.
.com.
.ale. What do you do, Kim, at beer? You're not doing any beer events, right? You just go hang out at beer events.
I am absolutely
a part of that event. You were here when I had my photo shoot.
Oh, that was that. What that was? Oh,
yeah. She was actually sitting in that chair.
Yeah, I was actually. Yeah. I was in the studios, and you were right outside the window.
I see. Mm. Yeah, I don't pay attention when you're around. Okay.
She was in that chair.
Welcome
with
to my
that
world.
Hat on and that shirt on.
I had a bun.
Yeah, but no beard. What do you do at Beer Fest?
Can I get low?
Some eyebrow pencil.
Snap your fingers.
What are you doing for SF Beer Week for us? What are you going to do for me?
That was for Brewing Network.
Oh, it That's, was?
First of all, Kim, it's the Brewing Network, not just Brewing Network.
BN.
The BN.
I thought we got somewhere, like, tonight with, like, women in beer and, like, inclusion.
Oh, you have.
And now you're just, like, slowly pushing us out right
not
now.
Not us. Only Kim.
Yeah, Kim.
Specifically me.
This has
not
nothing
you.
To do with women. It's Kim.
Okay. It's me specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just happens
so
to be a woman.
So, Kim for our lack
of... Dude, whose side are you on? I got you on the show.
I don't know how much you've hung out with her, but Kim is a giant pain in the ass.
What? Yeah, she is. So, yeah, she kind of sucks.
But I smile a lot.
Yeah. I thought that was why we liked her.
It's true. Are you going to the opening gala for us to do things?
It's pronounced gala.
Whatever.
Is this the first time you're asking
it's
me about
the
this?
Ball.
Probably. Did I not send
ball.
You an invite to
there
the
There
was
no
ball.
Invite.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm going.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll get you a ticket or whatever.
But talk to Kirby.
Yes.
She's the handler of things.
Oh, yeah, we'll both be there.
I'm just in charge of the volunteers. If you want to get a ticket through me, you have to, like, do your dirty work.
I have to go through the media person, and I think they've already contacted me, so it's good. We're solid.
I mean, Kirby still does need volunteers for a breakdown, so you can announce that.
Yeah, do you actually need one or two people
I'm not
for
a good
a
rapper.
Breakdown.
I'm not very good at it.
No?
I
can't break it down.
I disagree.
No,
I heard.
No, I got the stand. It's it's all held up.
I've heard your Flintstones rap. I disagree. You're a good.
Oh, I want to hear that.
My Flintstones rap is on point. It's lit. It's lit. That's for sure.
It's totally on point. We got another call. If you want to take it real quick,
I don't. I have to pee.
Just wait.
Okay.
Do the dance. Do the pee-pee cross your leg dance.
What am
right
I? 12.
Yeah.
Oh.
We've got Shannon, who's a brewer from Toledo, also a Pink Boots member. Hey, Shannon, how you doing?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for calling in. What can we do for you?
Just calling to say hi to my fellow female brewers in the house, and
beautiful.
It's good to see. Yeah, good to see and hear other female brewers, because there's not very many of us.
There are definitely not enough. I will agree with that.
Not enough.
You guys are like bald eagles or condors or something like that.
Do you notice it getting better in your area? You're from Toledo, Ohio?
Yes. Actually, no. It's really bad in our area.
Really?
Yeah. They just, you get that head tilt, and they look at you like you have three heads when you tell them what you do.
The dudes?
Yeah. I had, this is a perfect example. Actually, my assistant brewer is also female, so it's two women in the back of the house. And we had some guys come and pick up beer for a wedding. And after picking up the beer, and they're following us around, insisting, do you want me to help you with that? And we're like, we got this. We do this all the time. We can run a keg. It's okay.
Yeah.
And so we help them, get it in their truck and stuff. And the older gentleman looks right at me and says, "So, are the brewers here today?"
Right. Oh, no. I was going to make a joke about that, but now you're saying that's exactly what it was.
I mean, we've gotten that so much in the industry, and the thing that, just makes us more comfortable about it is, being strong in what you do and continuing to do it. And just, nicety is key, and just looking at them and saying, I am the brewer, and not getting offended, because then you just fit that stereotype the whatever...
angry woman industry.
What's funny is when I told him that, I said, I'm the brewer, and we were actually brewing that day. And he kept looking over my shoulder like I was, lying to him.
Yeah. He's like, no, the one who brews the beer.
Yeah.
Not the fruit beers, but the man beers.
Wow. I can't believe that still happens, but I know that it happens. I'm saying that I'm astonished.
Yeah, there's dummies everywhere.
You believe racism still exists?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know,
that's a lie perpetuated by the black state. It doesn't happen.
It's a black state?
I don't know. Shannon, it's the first two words that came to my mind.
What's your brewery, Shannon?
I work at Black Cloister Brewing Company.
Okay.
We're brand spanking new. We're just going to be coming up on our year anniversary, March 20th.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah,
that's
congratulations.
Awesome.
That's really exciting.
You beat the Ides of March, too. That's pretty good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I actually got married. I actually got married in the brewery before we even opened.
Really?
That's awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And is it?
Don't get divorced. You'll hate your job.
Is it your brewery?
Well, I don't. And it's not mine, no. No.
Okay.
I'm just a brewer.
Got it.
Well, keep doing what you
that's
do.
Very important
Absolutely.
Job.
Yeah.
And don't stop. I mean, you know. Extend like that
Absolutely.
Education and that knowledge to other people that come in and like ask questions and other ladies. I don't know, like education and like inclusion is key in my opinion.
Yep, I agree, and I love it. I love what I do. It's I have the best job ever.
That's wonderful.
We have the best job ever.
Totally.
There you
know,
go.
That's brewers.
What, yeah.
Brewers in general have the best job ever.
Yeah. Not podcasters.
No. Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations on the brewery. And let dudes move the kegs for you, but not because they're dudes, but because working sucks.
Like,
let other people do work.
Right.
Like, if anybody ever offers to do work for you, let them fucking do it.
Yeah. Free labor. Never say no.
There's nothing to do with being a man or a woman.
Free labor is good.
And then put your hand out and be like, and?
Yeah. Like, well, would you like to stay and grain out this batch?
Yeah. You really want to help and fucking sweep up when you're done, too.
Yeah. You
lock the doors. I'll be at home.
Get over there and get over there and clean that up for me, too.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Shannon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Shannon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Right. Thank you.
Even male brewers need dominatrixes, you know what I mean?
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Like he's just sitting in his own little world with his personal fantasy going on.
He does, yeah.
He has like a 2-foot bubble between him and the other people.
I do. Well, it's part of their writers.
I can't. And no brown M&M.
No brown.
What are you looking at on your screen right now?
Don't worry about it.
Are you doing weird shit again over there?
Is that a
there?
GIF or is that live?
Yeah.
It's live. Okay, so I chat roulette during the show. Bev shops on Target, I chat roulette. It's fine. It's fine.
It's a live feed of what's happening under the table in your seat.
I have seismic sensors and everything.
Stop it.
All right. You can go over to CrusetteNouveau.com and check it out. Thank you so much, Kirby and Amanda, for coming in and hanging out with us.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate it. You can go get more information over there. When we come back, we've got a little bit of beer news to do. Also, don't forget, we are giving away a cabin on the Labrusky Cruise tonight. We're going to draw our winner, those of you who played the Twitter game over the last several months, and we'll find out who's going to party with us on the Labrusky Cruise. Hang in there. It's the session.
The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
With over 20 years of experience making world-class craft beer and more than 100 gold medals in international competitions, Moylan's Brewing Company is not just a pretty face in craft beer. Just ask Brendan Moylan.
What do we got here? The beer of the hour. Moylan's, gotta love that big M. It's like a sign of awesomeness.
Moylan's.
Woo-hoo! It's got an extra kick to it. Let's pour this bad boy. Oh, Moylan's. The end of the night when the kids are finally in bed, the wife's in bed, nobody's bothering your ass anymore. That's Moylan's time. Moylan's is for you.
Yeah!
It's to help you out.
Yeah.
It helps me out.
What?
Well, because it's freaking awesome. Northern California brewed. It's brewed with love.
With love?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous. And it's always best where?
Moylan's.
You gotta try it on tap at Moylan's in Novato. They're friggin' awesome. Not only because I own the brewery, because I love the beer.
Cheers.
Boom.
Kilt Lifter Scotch Ale takes big beers to a whole new level with rich malt balanced perfectly with delicate hops and now comes in 4 pack tall boy cans so you can take the party on the go. Or come to the brewery, take a tour, and try any of Moylan's fresh creations right from the source. Check them out at Moylan's.com.
few things happened 30 years ago.
ARPANET migrated to TCP/IP, and the Internet was born. Revenge of the Jedi was renamed Return of the Jedi and opened in theaters. Mila Kunis and Emily Blunt were born, beginning a rad fantasy in my mind.
But all of that pales next to the fact that HopTech opened its doors and began blowing homebrewers right out of their mash tuns. HopTech doesn't fuck around. Real people shipping awesome shit straight to you. Their new website is fast and easy to navigate, or just call 800-379-4677 and let badass bitch Jade and the gadget guy Roberto blow their warm load of customer service all over you. So visit the site or visit the store in Dublin, California, and support those that support you. Get your brewing on at hoptech.com. Three-time Ninkasi Award winner and Grandmaster Judge Gordon Strong invites you on a guided journey of what's new in the world of homebrewing. Modern homebrew recipes, exploring styles, and contemporary techniques available now from Brewers Publications. Gordon brings you specific advice and sensory profiles for as-brewed, award-winning beers with delicious variations to get your creative juices flowing. This is more than just a book of recipes. It sets brewers on the path to discovering what's new in the world of homebrewing. AHA director Gary Glass says, if you want to enter competitions or just learn more about styles that you might not have experience with, this book is going to help you tremendously. By emulating what Gordon does, you're going to make better beer. Modern Homebrew Recipes, Exploring Styles and Contemporary Techniques by Gordon Strong. Available right now from brewerspublications.com and find brewing retailers near you. Heard about White Labs Pure Pitch yeast. Pure Pitch is yeast grown right in its final packaging. That means yeast that has never been exposed to the environment. And White Labs Pure Pitch yeast for homebrewers is now available to everyone at homebrew retailers nationwide. Easy to use, perfectly sized, and ready to pitch. White Labs yeast, packaged using their FlexCell process, ensures the purest yeast on the market. Visit whitelabs.com to learn more about Pure Pitch, FlexCell technology, and how it's created. Then visit a homebrew retailer near you for your own perfectly sized package of Pure Pitch yeast. And you can say hello to your own little friend. www.whitelabs.com.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
You're listening to the Brewing Network, because like beer, radio shouldn't suck.
Right. Welcome back to the program, and thanks for hanging out with us. I've been having a great time tonight doing tonight's show, Women in Brewing.
Have you?
I feel
like it's a first for you.
Yeah. Were you allowed to have fun?
It's the first time I've had a great time in the show in a while. I like I like when we do different topics.
Me too. It's been a good day for sure.
I like new things. We need to find more new topics and new interviews to so that I don't have to ask the same questions over and over again. And make it's exciting. It's more fun.
Well, and not having ugly dudes to look at is pretty nice too.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm a sexist person.
Right. You don't have to make it sound like that.
And sometimes we have good looking dudes.
My reputation precedes me.
Yeah.
I like broads.
I like big broads. It's just nice to talk about some different stuff and, new things happening in our industry and certainly changes in our industry, too. So, been enjoying myself. Don't forget, you can go over to pinkboots.com. Let me make sure I got that right. It could be Pink Boots Society. Yeah, pinkbootssociety.org is the actual address, and you can learn more about that. And then, of course, you can go over to GrisetteNouveau.com and check it out there and find out about the events that we spoke about tonight and different things like that. So had a great time. I also want to thank our wonderful chef, Rachel, who brought us another amazing meal tonight to keep us nourished for the program. Nourished is different. That's nourished.
But she still does it.
But she does that too. And Rachel's just so good to us, and that was great food tonight. I was really hungry, too. I felt like I hadn't eaten all weekend. because I hadn't eaten all weekend. So it was good to fill up. That was really nice. All right. A couple of things to do. I think we're about to do some beer news, right?
We are about to do some beer news.
So the beer news is brought to you tonight by the Wine and Hop Shop. You can go to wineandhopshop.com and check it out. A wonderful sponsor of ours. They've been around for over 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long,
time.
Isn't that crazy?
That's older than the Olsen twins, not to make you feel old.
The Olsen twins are older than 40?
They're turning 30 this year.
Oh.
Along with Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet album.
Oh, also great.
Warren, I like off. No one cares about
you. You missed.
I like how you made the correlation between Slippery When Wet and the Olsen twins.
Unrelated
thoughts.
Both of them are on my top 10 list, okay?
Are they ever going to get work again? Like, will there be another movie where you're like, oh, the Olsen twins are...
They don't need to.
They weren't even included in the Full House remake.
Really?
Yeah, everyone else is. They weren't even asked.
No.
Yes.
Why? Because they're crazy?
I don't know.
But just look at them.
I only read the titles of articles.
It's just so nice.
Is that them now?
That's them now, dude. They're in fashion and parfumies and stuff. They don't.
They look like that actress. There's something about Mary girl.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, they kind of look. They're a little Cameron Diaz-y.
Yeah, that's true. I love them.
Twinsies. So if you go over to wineandhopshop.com, Brewing Network listeners get $8 flat rate shipping on orders under 50 pounds. So just enter BN shipping in the notes field of the shopping cart, and your discount will be taken after checkout. So they're really trying to help you, and we love our sponsors. For those of you who don't donate, and it's okay if you don't, I won't chastise you too much. The other ways to help are by supporting our sponsors. It's a really big deal that you do that. These are people who believe in the Brewing Network and are keeping us alive over here. So go to wineandhopshop.com and enter BN shipping into your checkout and get your $8 off. AHA members, $8 flat rate shipping. And AHA members also get a 10% discount.
Oh, great.
So,
oh,
nice. That's pretty cool, too. Go check them out, Wine and Hop Shop. All right, so what's in the news this week, JP?
Well, we have a couple controversial stories. Justin, leading off the headlines here, Cantillon, the famous sour beer that's already really hard to get for most good beer lovers, is about to have its production numbers drop. The cause? Climate change.
Saw that headline.
That's what brewer Jean Venois chalks it up to. Mm-hmm. As part of the brewing process, the hot wort is transferred into cool ships and exposed to the cool Belgian air, which helps bring the temps down to proper fermentation area, but also exposes it to those special wild yeast and other contaminants that make Cantillon beers so special. Mm-hmm. However, with nighttime temps staying around 59 degrees Fahrenheit, Venois is having a hard time cooling his beer. It's totally abnormal. We have the night temperatures in the summer, and with such a temperature, it's totally impossible impossible to brew, he said.
Mm.
Not a sound bite. Part of what makes Cantillon Cantillon is Van Wa's adherence to traditional methods. He's Czech. He's a Nigerian Czech. It's a weird accent. As such, he refuses to use artificial refrigeration to cool the wort, making production at Cantillon totally seasonally dependent.
Well, there's the problem.
That's the problem, right? In his grandfather's days, the seasons would run from mid-October to early May, which would be his brewing season. Quote, we are beginning right now, mainly in November, to end in the end of March or early April, Van Wa says. Quote, we are losing more than 1 month, and if it continues, we will lose maybe 2 months.
Wow.
And that's certainly due to the global warming.
That's the last thing we need with the price of Cantillon in the U.S.
Right? Yeah, I can only
is a shortage.
So I looked into this.
Yeah.
According to the historical record of nighttime temperatures, the weather in Brussels hasn't really changed over the last 15 years. The average temperature for the month of May 2005 was 55 degrees.
Okay.
The average high temp for that same month in 1999 was 56 degrees.
Okay.
The average temp for May 2015, 56 degrees. Since May is the month he would typically stop brewing, it's probably normal to see those numbers a bit higher than what he wants. Looking at the temperature history in mid-October, again, which is another month Van Wa says he can no longer brew in, we find the average high temp for 2015 at 50 degrees. And in the year 2000, 56 degrees. So if these numbers are if these temperatures are too warm to be brewing in, why is the sudden stoppage? Why wasn't he stopping in 2000 or 2005 or 1999? It's the same temperature. So over 15 years, nothing has really changed at all. In fact, it stayed the same. So I don't know why he's now saying that it's cutting off a month.
I see.
It's very weird.
Well, because I'm assuming your average temperatures reflect a higher nighttime temperature. I assume they do, right?
I would imagine. I mean, they're the lows. So,
and
maybe he's got a new PR firm, and
yeah,
maybe
this is like, you know, getting a lot of press.
Well, so but you said I believe you called out that he's saying the temperatures at night now are 59
degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah,
and you were saying that the averages are like 55 to 56. So
right.
The question becomes: is the 3 to 4 degree difference affecting the beer? Because it's a little, it's slightly higher than the averages you're talking about.
Yeah, he's saying it's 59, but I haven't been able to find any numbers to support that.
Of what the average is right now.
Yeah, and then, you know, as we all know, 3 degrees, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, except
in brewing.
That he's naturally getting to pitch temperature.
Yeah.
So 3 degrees does matter, doesn't it?
It could.
Does it? I mean, 3 degrees?
Well, I don't know. 78 versus 75, I might ferment at 75 and at 78.
Okay.
Well, it would mainly just affect how quickly it cools down.
That's the problem. Yeah. Well, that would also affect how long it's exposed in the attic, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
he wants to make something consistent, right?
Totally. Okay. And so you know, I don't know. I guess it's a weird difference between making money and having a business and growing your business. Because I think remember last year we reported that he bought an underground, like an old
tunnel,
World War One bunker or some shit like that to store some beer. But now he says he can't meet the production levels because of global warming. Why not throw up a pump in there and cool it down to 3 degrees, or you know? Invent something. Be innovative.
Glycol jacket that.
Something. I mean, so you leave
Belgian kid to like fan it.
Right.
I
blow
think he
on
just
it.
Wants to take an extra month off a year.
That's what I'm thinking.
Those Belgians and Europeans, how they don't like to work.
Oh, he's pulling a Crosley.
Yeah.
This is all a ploy to.
I'm pulling a Crosley.
No, yeah.
Taking a month off.
He's working at something.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting. And I like that you did the research about the temperatures. It's good to have a little comparison there about that. So
some facts.
Well, I hope he's full of shit and he gets to brew for that extra month. Because like I said, it's expensive enough over here. By the way, just so you know, you can always buy Cantillon at, I guess, arguably a reasonable price at the Hop Grenade. We don't do the, like, you know, triple markup that other places do because of demand.
Yeah.
We don't price based on demand. We just have a formula that we price everything. So, and we almost always have a little bit of Cantillon here at the Hop Grenade. The difference is, though, they're not bottles that we allowed to leave the building because we feel like by offering it, if we offer it at this lower price than most people like we do, we don't want it showing up on eBay, you know, for $50 higher than that. So so you have to come and have it here at the Grenade, but you can get it at a really, you know, I would say decent price, at least comparatively.
Better than most places, I would say that for sure.
It's still an expensive beer, but, you know, we're not charging $70 a bottle.
right.
So Which I've paid for that, by the way.
Of course you have.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the opposite of Cantillon. For those of you who are craving that blast of fresh, hoppy, draft-only beer but don't feel like putting on pants...
I'm always craving that.
Now you don't have to.
Okay.
Hopsy, a brand new company operating here in the East Bay of California, is there for you in your moment of pantsless fury. Huh. If you reside in between the cities of Oakland and El Cerrito, Hopsy will head to one of their 10 partner breweries and pick up a fresh, cold growler of your choice while keeping it at a brisk 40 degrees on its way over to you.
And deliver you a growler at home?
Deliver you a growler at home.
Wow.
Their prices are scaled according to beer style. $16 for a sour, $14 for an IPA, $12 for lagers, pilsners, and wheat beers, which seems totally skewed.
These are half growlers.
These are growlettes. Yeah,
is that the delivery fee or that's the cost of the beer?
Did you buy six? Oh, go ahead.
Orders of four or more growlers come with a free delivery. Anything less carries a $4.99 fee.
What the fuck are you going to do with four or more growlers?
Party.
I see. Okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you're going to party.
Four half growlers is just two regulars. That's not
so
much.
Okay. Yeah, that's a night.
They're having them CO2 flush and everything. So you can potentially not have to pick them that
and
day.
I think it's even more than that. They're partnering with these breweries to give them... a CO2 flushing wand. It's no longer just the tube. Like you go to a normal brewery and they throw that shitty tube on there. Mm-hmm. They're actually really trying to work with breweries who are going to adhere to, you know, the quality standards that we've all come to expect from beer right now.
And what was the delivery fee you said?
$4.99 if you order less than four growlers.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all, right?
To stay in my underwear? That's good.
I was at a Freewheel Brewing Company, which is a 100% cask brewery for all their English beers, and they actually bottle condition in the growlers. So they prime, and so it's essentially cask growler beer.
Hmm. Freewheel Partners, it's one of the partner breweries with Hopsy, too.
Yeah, they were telling me that they cask condition in the growler, basically.
Interesting.
Quote, our promise is to provide for brewers a different way of distributing, said Sebastian Tron, Hopsy's CEO. The brewers make much more money with us than they do with traditional distribution. Tron will not disclose specifics about payment. There are 10 partner breweries, including Magnolia in San Francisco, Black Diamond in Concord, and Baltane in Novato, with a goal of adding 10 more by this coming June.
You know what would be cool is if they offered like a membership where you could sign up, like, I want four growlers
a
month.
They have one.
Yeah,
they do.
And they'll just, deliver them no matter what. Like, if I could just come home and there's a cooler on my porch.
It's
like
a membership. No, you need to be, there needs to be someone 21 years or older to sign for the package.
But they
will deliver to your work.
Yeah, okay.
They do not swear about that. I do have a work.
Yeah, I like that.
I have a work. Hopsy has a storefront in Albany here in the East Bay, of course, where anyone can show up and purchase any growlers of beer in stock.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird. The hope, Tron said, is to convert those storefront customers to online home delivery customers. I guess they don't want to deal with anyone walking in up the street.
Yeah.
The storefront is also where you can bring in your empty growler for a dollar credit towards your next purchase. And there's no such thing as on-demand right now. Customers have to order a couple days in advance. So it's not just like, hey, we're gonna have some people over in 4 hours, you know, where's all the beer, let's go order it.
Yeah, I don't like
but
that,
eventually it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sitting at home on a Sunday, I've already had a couple of 2-3 Bloody Marys, and I want a growler. I need a little on-demand action.
Well, they're moving to that. Moving to that. It's definitely something in their purview, but as it stands right now, they're just you order it in advance, and then they get it to the distribution center, which I think is their Albany storefront.
Okay.
And then they just throw it, and they probably do 1-2 deliveries a week or something like that. Right now, I think they just started a couple of weeks ago. They're very small.
Okay. What's their license? Are they a wholesaler?
I don't know that.
I wonder what these distributors think about people distributing beer.
I think they're still a distributor. I think they still fall in line with the three-tier thing, right?
Well, sound about right.
I thought each brewery can only have one distributor in that county.
Oh, I don't know.
I think they might just be a beer account.
Oh, maybe.
I think they're
because they can't be a distributor. Yeah, they're a retailer, probably.
Yeah,
It's weird. It's very weird, but it's kind of a cool market.
I kind of really like this idea.
Me too.
Usually I poo-poo new ideas, but this one's pretty cool.
Well, and I mean, there's always
I've never heard of it.
There's tons of ways that you can get alcohol now at home. There's alcohol delivery service isn't really that unique anymore, but this I think is.
Yeah.
Especially because, like you said, Daisy, they're working with breweries who want to take care of the beer, CO2 flush
the
things,
part of the requirement.
And do all the deals. Yeah.
I might have to move to Albany.
Well, you don't have to. You can call. You can email them or whatever. Hopsy.com. H-O-P-S-Y.
No, but they only deliver down there between Oakland and El Cerrito, which is Oakland, Emeryville, Albany.
The 80 corridor.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not really the East Bay. That's what I hate about ours.
But it's a tiny portion of it.
But we're the East Bay. I feel like that's the Mid Bay, right?
That's the other east side of the Bay.
We're not a part of the Bay. There's mountains in between us and the Bay.
We're in the Central Valley, as far as they're concerned.
Hey, man, I know people in Sacramento who think they're part of the East Bay. So
how far does it go?
It's not even part of the Bay Area.
No. Okay. All right. Well, I like that.
It's pretty good, right?
I like it.
Here's something else I think
they should sponsor.
They should sponsor. This is specifically for you, Justin. A woman in New York recently...
I love her.
She's 35. She's a little too old for you. Yeah. A woman in New York recently beat a DUI charge by claiming her body actually creates alcohol.
I love her.
I will drink her blood.
Yeah.
Otto Brewery Syndrome is the name given to this rare disease in which an excess of intestinal yeast causes ingested food and drinks to ferment into alcohol.
Who named it Otto Brewery Syndrome? Some beer nerd of a doctor, right?
Yeah, probably, dude. Well, I think the thing is that your body acts like a brewery that ferments the... Whatever, I don't know. It gets better. Okay. According to the Buffalo News, the 35-year-old school teacher... was pulled over after an anonymous tip was called in saying she was driving with a flat tire while weaving back and forth on her way home.
Who doesn't? I mean, when you have a flat, it's hard
to drive with a flat.
She admitted to having 3 drinks earlier in the day, but that would have not accounted for her blood alcohol level to be a whopping 0.33.
Wow.
Such an efficient plant.
She was hammered.
Of course, more than 4 times the legal limit. Yeah. Facing misdemeanor charges of DWI and aggravated DWI, which is, apparently one...
She was angry.
One worse. The woman spent around $7,000 on medical experts who monitored her BAC when she wasn't drinking and found that it consistently climbed above the legal limit, despite the fact she had not had a sip of alcohol.
And she claims that day she had not had a sip of alcohol?
She had earlier in the day, but it had been a couple of hours since she had gotten in the car.
The rest of the day she just ate malted barley.
So you just have an insane tolerance?
Good
question.
That's part of it. A defense attorney presented these findings to a judge who became convinced that the unusual medical condition, also known as gut fermentation syndrome, was the culprit behind the woman's inebriated driving. People with the syndrome have an unusually high level of Saccharomyces cerevisiae, more commonly known as brewer's yeast.
Did she beat the case?
She did. Yeah, she beat the case.
Wait, she gets to continue to drive drunk.
Yeah, I feel like even if she beats the case, they should take her license away. Right. She shouldn't be allowed to drive.
The state is trying to overturn the judge's thing, whatever, right?
Well, but you see what I mean, though? Like, even if it doesn't get overturned, like, let her off the hook, I guess, if this isn't bullshit, which seems pretty bullshit.
Well,
don't let her drive.
There's about, here it goes on. Quote, she can register a blood alcohol content that would have you or I falling down drunk, but she can function, the defendant's attorney, Joseph Marsurek, told the Buffalo News. The Erie County District's Attorney's Office is reportedly planning to appeal the judge's ruling. Approximately 50 to 100 people have ever been diagnosed with the disorder, although as many as 95% of sufferers might not even know that they have it.
She must be the happiest woman on earth. She's just walking around with a buzz all day.
Randomly climbing, man.
Was she able to recall when she got the flat? Was it last week?
I bought it this way.
Does she wake up hungover every day?
That's another good question.
Or better, like, you know how when you drink a lot and you wake up still drunk, so you're not, like, it's the best way to wake up after you drank too much because you're not hungover?
Yeah.
She just has that. Like, she's just a constant.
Or does she know?
Also.
Because her tolerance is so high. I mean, does it even register for her?
Also, does she have liver problems? Because it's constantly processing alcohol.
Yeah. Well, so the core of the issue, I guess, is her body has apparently become attuned to functioning with a high blood alcohol content, and she rarely feels drunk or wobbly, the attorney said. Apparently, a diet high in carbs can cause these, quote, brewery flare-ups, and changing your diet is one way sufferers can cope with this. So apparently she went to her doctor.
Stop drinking.
Well, that's true. And she's kind of cut down the carbs in her diet, and since this incident, she hasn't had another flare-up, is what they're calling it, which I love. I love it's called a flare-up of drunk.
Yeah. My drunk flares up every night about 9 o'clock, too.
My blood alcohol content had a flare-up, officer.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
I like you can just sit there and get drunk.
Sorry, Kate the Great, I'm flaring up again.
Yeah, a loaf of bread's way cheaper than a six-pack.
Yeah. Packs of sugar.
It's Kraft bread.
Could have been my Hopsy delivery. I don't know. Okay. Well, God bless her.
Poor woman.
I know, right? Speaking of homebrewers.
All right.
Oh, I get it.
Thank you. Is it true, do you think, that homebrewers are setting the trend for the beer market? Tasty, go.
I think they're
perfect. Dr. Bart Watson from the American Homebrewers Association thinks so, and he has the numbers to prove it. In analyzing data entries into NHC from 2011,
oh, I read this,
and comparing them to market data from a company sinisterly called the IRI Group, which looks at sales of different beer styles or something like that, convenience stores, grocery stores, whatever. What he found was a loose correlation between categories entered in 2011 and an increase in those certain beer substyles from that point through 2015. So the more entries a category had in 2011, the more likely that category was to grow on a commercial level.
Interesting.
Dr. Watson also analyzed brewery openings in states that had recently hosted the NHC and found that those states saw a marked increase in the number of brewery openings post-NHC, meaning in states with dedicated home brewers, there's more opportunity and interest in opening and sustaining a brewery or three.
And I wonder if that's because the homebrewers themselves are the ones opening the new breweries,
right,
or if it's just an indication of the demographic of beer drinkers that a brewery is more sustainable because there are more homebrewers around.
I think that's part of it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the vast homebrewers are craft beer drinkers, right? That's,
sure.
We'll assume that.
Yeah.
And craft beer drinkers obviously drink all the craft beers. So I think they're just representative of what people are drinking. Just, you know, and maybe like their vote would count like times a thousand versus, you know, like another, just a single
I see what you mean, yeah,
beer drinker. Because they're more in tune to, like, you know, what's going on in the industry maybe a little bit because they're home brewing. But it's more about what the general public's drinking, I think.
Sure.
So, for example, stout. Category stout in NHC 2011 had 566 entries, which blows my mind. The market growth for that category from 2011 to 2015 was 56%.
Wow.
But you go out to a bar, who makes a stout anymore? But I guess maybe it's regional. It's kind of also what he was saying.
Guinness up their production.
That's true, yeah.
That's a huge percentage.
Yeah, but something like something called American Ale, which I don't even know what that is anymore. The lines have been so blurred.
Okay.
Right.
There were 493 entries in NHC 2011, and that category dropped 35%.
Huh. Okay.
That's why it's a loose correlation.
Right, that's why it's a loose correlation. But IPA, 462 entries, 96.9% growth.
In 4 years?
In 4 years.
Wow.
Fruit beer, spice beer, herb vegetable beer grew 78.1% in 4 years. And they had 429 entries. I don't know.
That's interesting correlations there.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we've always said that the homebrewers drive the craft brewing industry, but
they have
this is some real evidence of that.
Some real things. And then last but not least, I know it was a Bourbon County Stout recently was released, but apparently for you fans of Bourbon County Stout, you may be entitled to a refund. That's right. Goose Island, or more commonly known as AB InBev, has issued a recall for certain types of their popular offering, specifically their barley wine and coffee variants of the Bourbon County Stout. Many in the craft beer blogosphere have been commenting on off flavors coming from these beers, mainly an out-of-place tartness. The company issued a statement and said, in part, it has come to our attention that since bottling the 2015 Bourbon County Coffee and Bourbon County Barley Wine, they have developed flavors that are not consistent with our expectation of how these beers should taste. That's not to say the beer doesn't taste good. In fact, some drinkers may enjoy it very much.
I like flavors.
However, it doesn't meet our standards for the taste profile of these beers. To get your refund, call 1-800-GOOSE-ME.
No.
Yes.
You made that up.
No, I did not.
Are we playing Find the Fake?
Yes.
That would have been a perfect story. That really Find the fake story.
Have you till goose me.
1-800-GOOSE-ME. That's
well, rancid coffee. Number. It never tastes that good. So coffee stouts are going to get rancid eventually, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So a full refund. I mean, how many breweries, you know, you put the beer out and 6 months later you get off flavors in it because bottling is difficult. And
well, it was released like a month ago or something. Like it was released pretty recently.
You think Anheuser-Busch would be able to handle packaging a beer?
Yeah, but I mean,
maybe that's why they're giving the refund. They believe that too.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, but they, you know, it's released across 50 states. You know, it's probably the widest release this beer has ever seen. You know, it's just. It happens, I guess, but you know, look, maybe it's the variation in that in those specific beers, and maybe it's a malt combination that people aren't used to, or you know, it's a wider audience maybe getting the beers that may not normally have been able to get it before because it's Budweiser.
Or they didn't
the
taste
it, and they're comparing it to the regular without the coffee.
Sure,
and it's gonna taste really bad.
Or they didn't taste all of the barrels before they blended everything, and a couple of barrels went sour instead of dumping it like they probably would have done years ago.
Sure,
it all just got blended back.
And that's beer news.
Okay. Well, thanks for the beer news. That's wonderful. Don't forget.
thanks, Davey. Appreciate that.
That's wonderful.
That's great.
Don't forget to go over to wineandhopshop.com and check it out. We have a drunk of the week call.
Is it Lulu?
It is Lulu.
Oh, perfect.
You want to take it now?
Yes. Are you asking me or Lulu?
You. Hi, Lulu Gumshoe.
Oh, my God. Hi, you guys.
OMG.
Some of you were just getting there.
Yeah.
Totes.
What's happening? You drinking a bunch?
I am drinking several. Yes.
Good
how
job.
How come you didn't show up all drunk when I got to hang out with you at Disneyland? Show you were sober.
No.
You know what? I wanted to meet you sober because I respect you, dude.
Aww. I think you're full of shit, but that's a nice thing. That's a nice thing to say.
Well, that's one.
Kind of unusual, but
what are you drinking tonight?
You know, I had a bunch of Firestones.
Which ones?
Like all of them.
Oh, all the Firestones.
Oh, no.
That's a good way to do it.
Okay. All of the stones on fire.
Yeah. Are you by yourself? Are you alone drinking?
Oh, no. Drink with my husband, yo.
My husband, dude.
It's funny she gets urban.
Yeah.
When she's drunk.
It's very urban.
Well, dude, Justin, you grew up in SoCal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yo.
From, like, Santa Ana, yo.
Santa Ana.
You know, like the winds, bitch.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Like, the only thing I know about Santa Ana is the shitty winds.
We'd be blowing through, B.
Yeah. Well, you're representing. Or whatever.
Hey, I know how to cut a bitch, yo. I do.
Hey, Lulu, this is the Women in Beer show.
Yeah.
Prefer you didn't do any bitch cutting.
Well, she's a woman.
Not today.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the drunkest you've ever called in, what do you think you are now?
Oh, probably like 25.
at least a 25. All right. Well, I'm pretty drunk. You going to pass out tonight? Or are you going to go to sleep?
I hope not.
Yeah. You going to try to get some action with that husband of yours?
Of course.
Crawl up. Hey. Hey, you.
She's not Sam.
It's me, Lulu.
Hey. Hey, Randall.
Like, I mean, she's drunk enough that she has to introduce herself to her husband.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, it's me, Lulu.
Good to see you again.
Well, I wish you luck getting some action, Lulu. All right, well, you are in the running for Drunk of the Week because you called.
Oh, my God.
Are you done drinking? Are you finished, or you still got work to do?
No, there's always work to be done, Justin. You know that?
I do know that. Wish I was drunk tonight. I gotta I gotta drive home though. Imagine how many stupid things I would have said if I got drunk on the Women in Beer show. I should have started early and totally just ruined this topic.
So, do you all? I don't know.
And then you know me too. Like the next morning, I'll wake up tomorrow and just go, fuck. You are such an idiot.
They'd all be standing over your bed, just bloodshot eyes and knives staring down at you.
They would cut a bitch, yo.
So many dumb things out of my mouth. I'm proud of myself that I came in sober today.
Well, no one wants to hear about how their husbands let them do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, Lulu, thanks for the call.
No problem. Right. Anytime, yo.
Later, yo.
Cucamonga Kings for life.
Say it, bitch.
Cucamonga Kings. Is that a thing?
That's a thing.
There are people?
Yeah. Hmm. The Kardashians claim them.
I feel like that's one I would join. I don't know why. It sounds like they do fun things. It sounds like they have like cocktail parties. I'm like, hey, it's Mai Tai night at the Cucamonga Kings Clubhouse.
A 2-for-1 salsa night.
Limbo night.
Love it. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, a very quick break. When we come back, we are going to give away the cabin to the Labrusky crew.
Yeah.
So hang in there. It's the session. Plus, I have a gift to open from
what?
Kim Shimke. She got me a gift.
What about us?
There's more than just you.
It just says my name on there.
Did she bring enough for everybody?
We'll find out.
Should we be in the room?
I think so. I don't know. Why? You think it's like a dirty gift?
Well, no. It's dangerous. I don't want to be here.
There is one for him, something for you, a little something for her, and then something you'll both enjoy.
Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Brewcasters. The Brewcasters on the Brewing Network.
Hi, this is Brandon from Drake's Brewing Company here to warn you about the impending apocalypse. This year, we're unleashing our four horsemen on Saturday, January 23rd from 12 to 6 p.m. at Drake's in San Leandro. In addition to the return of Apocalypse Double IPA and Black Label Triple IPA, we're adding the next two riders, Red Label and White Label. In case you thought Apocalypse Day couldn't get any bigger, you thought wrong. We invited more than a dozen of our favorite West Coast breweries to pour hard-to-find double and triple IPAs, including Cellar Maker, Russian River, Boneyard, Beechwood, and many more. Pre-sale tickets are on sale now and start at just $25. Black Label is limited to 6 bottles per person. Go to drinkdrakes.com for more info and brace yourself. The end is beer.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Home Brewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from the brewingnetwork.com.
Hey, dude, you know what beer this is?
Oh, no, all the labels are falling off.
Yeah, or the ink has run.
Well, if it's the pale ale, you're good, but stay away from the quote-unquote Belgian.
Oh, man, this guy needs to get some grog tags.
Grog tags are reusable, write-on, wipe-off, commercial-grade bottle labels for your brew. The guys at Grog Tag are homebrewers. They wanted great-looking, sturdy labels for your bottles, buckets, carboys, kegs, and growlers. They also wanted a label that not only looks good, but can be easily removed and reapplied during bottling, without that nasty glue residue being left behind. No residue, water resistant, and ice chest approved. Grog tags stay on in water or an ice chest, and they stay legible. Visit grogtag.com to customize your label or coaster from dozens of different templates for free and see how awesome your bottles can look.
Ugh, it's that pseudo-Belgian.
Yeah, we're getting him some grog tags, dude.
Grog tag. At least your beer will look good. Grogtag.com.
segmented, demented, fermented.
It's the session.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, JP, are you getting enough?
No, I'm not. I have a ring on my finger.
I bet you'd like a little more, right?
I would, but she listens to the program.
Ah, well, AdamEve.com wants to give you more anyway.
Nice.
10 free gifts, as a matter of fact.
I like gifts.
If you use coupon code BNARMY, first, you'll get a sexy surprise for her.
Nice. Is it like a spa day for her so I can be alone with the internet?
I think so.
Nice.
I don't know. Lulu, are you listening? I'm gonna listen to my voice. I'm going to get you some action. All right. You're going to get a sexy surprise for her. Then second, especially...
Just one.
Second is a specially selected toy for him, whoever you invite to join you to, I guess. And then a third, a little something that you'll both enjoy. Plus, you're going to get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD.
And I know Lulu, she's been needing some full length for a while.
Full length, yes. And then the 10th thing you get for free, free shipping on your entire order if you go to adamandeve.com to get your free 10 gifts. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be like an adventurous new toy. As opposed to like a dull one. Like, don't pick a dull one. Pick
an adventure. It's not a stay-at-home toy.
Pick an adventurous one. Or maybe like a sexy piece of lingerie. I know you wear lingerie, JP.
Well, look, this is the Women in Beer show.
Yeah.
Lingerie is not just for women. It's for men's, too, as well.
It is for men's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or anything else that you desire, just go to adamandeve.com. Use coupon code BNARMY. That's BNARMY. At checkout, you get your 10 free gifts. Go do that now. All right. Speaking of gifts.
Yes.
Kim Shimke.
Yeah, what is this? Garbage.
Brought me a gift.
Just Justin.
As if my presence wasn't enough.
Right.
No.
No, what?
That's implying that
that's
we think
easy.
It is.
No, actually,
he got it. And he got that, too.
Well, this also begs the question, what did he give you for Christmas?
I guess a job.
Paycheck. Mm.
For Christmas?
A lot of love.
I send invoices. I get checks in return. Those are
that's the
Bev. No,
he doesn't do any of that work, honey.
Oh, wait.
That's true.
Honey.
That's
true. Girl. Honey child.
I am surprised that on the Women in Beer show, Bevo is the first one to call somebody honey or sweetie.
So all it takes is sending an invoice.
Well, Kim, I haven't opened it yet, but I'm assuming it's thoughtful.
it's an invoice.
I wrapped it. It
is beautifully wrapped in Anchor wrapping paper. Where did you get that from?
At Anchor Brewing
Company. At the Brewing Company? They sell it like in the gift shop or what?
At Noble
Airways. I got it at a media night.
Somebody gave her a present.
Okay, nice. It's really cool. I like the
cool.
The wrapping paper.
I took time for this.
You did. It's professionally wrapped.
She billed you for the time also.
Even. Yes.
I used some of my double-sided tape on you and everything.
Wow. Right, so I'm opening the gift here. Let's see what...
One person in this room that doesn't deserve it.
Wow. Is this a new Journey album?
What?
Journey Eclipse.
That's not new.
It's not.
It's not new. No. It was $4.99 at Walmart.
It's so old. It's $4.99 at Walmart.
Where Steve Perry does not eclipse the Filipino kid.
Let's see what's on it. Let's see if I know any of these songs. Oh, this is like, these are like deep cuts. I don't think
first cut's the deepest.
I don't even know these songs, as a matter of fact. So that means I'm going to enjoy this bad boy. Wow. Thank you, Kim Shimke. I love that you were standing in line at the Walmart and you saw Journey on the shelf at the checkout line
clearance
for $4.99 and you thought of me.
Well, if I'm being completely honest, it was a re-gift.
My elephant!
Yeah, wait, who the hell gave you a Journey album?
Someone who got it for free.
She's like, who can I dump this on?
As a joke or like, Kim likes Journey?
Here well, I do like Journey. I went to them for my 19th birthday. That is a true fact.
Is it signed?
To Walmart?
That was before.
How long ago was your 19th birthday?
A decade ago.
Really?
Yeah.
God, you're getting old.
I'm getting old.
So Kim Shimke also turns 30 this year.
I do turn 30 this year.
When?
Just like Bon Jovi.
September 30th.
What are we going to do?
Oh, it's a Friday night, by the way.
So we're going to rage for 30. You don't rage when you turn 30. You just kind of sit around and talk about books.
I had a Harry Potter-themed birthday party for my 30th birthday.
God damn it.
Jane Austen and tea party.
That sounds lovely.
Gross. Pride and Prejudice.
Thank you, Kim Shimke. I am honored to receive any gift from you, but this one in particular.
I did wrap it.
Even if it was intended for you.
I brought it on BART and everything.
I should keep it in its wrapper, like I might one day.
You should keep it next down here by the console on the floor with all the other crap that people give
you.
Yeah. Because eventually, I'm sorry, in your storage case.
Yeah,
in
the storage.
Yes. Usually our journey memorabilia comes signed.
Yeah. That's true. I'm not sure I can hang it next to the drum head because it's not signed. Although I could maybe get it signed.
I could sign it for you.
Yes.
So it would have my signature on it.
I guess you could do that. Well, thank you, Kim. It's the thought that you thought.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that's saying
good. That's saying good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So good. Thank
you got it right.
You're a very nice person.
On a good day.
How was your Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas?
I had a very uneventful Christmas.
Yeah.
I wish I had some kind of fun story to tell you, but I have absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing. How about your New Year's?
Same story.
Yeah, you stayed home wishing for a date?
No, I was actually...
Waiting for Brooklyn?
I was down in Long Beach.
Yeah, you were.
He fell asleep.
Brosa fell asleep?
He was asleep.
Well, he does...
What time?
From like 10 to about 11:59. When I woke him up.
Yeah.
And then at 12:03, he was back down.
Oh,
so.
Right. Wow. You're dating the same dude?
The same dude.
As we know?
That you know.
Yes. Yeah. The same dude.
Whose portrait we drew?
How's it go? How are things?
You know.
Whoa. This was about journey. All right. This is about journey.
Oh, trust me. You're on a journey.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine. Maybe to the free clinic. We don't know yet.
I have health insurance. I don't need the free clinic. I have Kaiser helping me out. My HMO is great. Thank you.
How are things? Are you guys serious?
Things are things.
Yeah. You could talk about babies or anything?
Yeah.
So about that Journey album.
He slept most of New Year's.
He did some dirty.
Things are casual still. Are you exclusively dating one person?
This is incredibly uncomfortable.
Is that? We're not talking about who the person is.
Right.
We're just talking about Abe. You know,
Abel's got a switch in her microphone. She's turned off.
Yeah,
it's the woman show. It's all about you right now.
Right.
Like, are you not banging anybody else?
Yeah, one day.
There's no banging of other people.
No. Is there banging of that person? Or you guys just fall asleep every night?
There's actually no banging.
There's actually...
I bang on his head to wake him up.
There's banging before 10 a.m. Between 8:30 a.m. and 10, and then anywhere throughout the day, he falls asleep.
Some people are daytime people.
Great. Now we've got you dating a narcoleptic.
A narcoleptic, a socially awkward, sexually frustrated asshole.
God, if only I had that photo or the drawing with me. Actually, I think it's still in my wallet, but...
Yeah. Oh, good.
I keep it forever.
You have to keep a picture of the one you love.
Yeah, that way you remember him.
Yeah.
You should put it on a necklace.
It'll lock it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Didn't he have a hook for a hand and like a big, like one giant kneecap?
You also gave him a double-sided dildo as his accessory.
Yes, we did.
Well, we're
thinking about you.
Yeah, we're trying to help, really.
A little penetration. You know, I've got to appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. We were like, you know what Kim probably likes?
DP.
Yeah. Where you bend
Kim's
it,
into the DP.
Where you bend it around, and so it's a handle. Yeah. The whole thing.
Stop it.
I like how you felt that you had to describe how that would work.
Right.
With a double-ended.
Yeah. Well, because one's in the other. It's a whole... Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well,
is that one gift or two from Adam and Eve?
Who knows?
I'm happy for you, I think. I haven't decided if I like Brosov yet, so I think I'm happy.
You need a few more meetings?
Yeah, maybe a couple of them.
No, I don't think we need a few more meetings. We just need to think about it a little bit. The one meeting is fine.
Yeah.
It's been like 8 months, then you need to think about it a little bit more.
Trust me.
I'll be honest. It hasn't crossed my mind before tonight.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Well, he's
we're sitting around just going, I wonder what Kim's doing with that dude.
Well, I personally get very uncomfortable with people who look like they're Syrian refugees. It's a whole thing.
Just in general.
He wears baggy clothes, and he doesn't really... It's just the whole thing.
He is a little refugee-like.
He is a little refugee-esque.
Yeah.
So I'll be single after tonight. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Back to normal.
Yeah.
Oh, does he listen to this?
Probably not. Thanks. Good point, Warren.
It's too late.
I appreciate that.
It's late.
It's 9:30.
Yeah.
I think he's a big fan. I think he listens to every episode waiting to see if we're going to mention him. It's been 6 months. He's like, yes.
Ever since the meeting.
Finally, they talked about me again.
How I sleep.
Finally, talked about me since the picture. Did you show him the picture?
You know what? I did show him the picture.
Good.
I felt totally comfortable doing that.
How did he feel about it? Was it accurate in his eyes?
Was it accurate in his eyes?
Why did you have a picture of my grandfather?
He doesn't have a hook. He doesn't carry around a double-sided dildo. So
bullshit.
I don't think that he thought it was accurate.
He sounds real boring.
Mm. I think he looked at it and he was like, you know what it, there's some, you know what it is? That's how I feel inside.
Yes. We captured his true essence.
Right. Yeah, we captured
you portrayed his insides. Not
yeah, that was a picture of his insides. I don't know if he told you that.
We draw souls.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, I don't know. Congrats, I guess, Kenny.
I guess.
Yeah. Congrats that nothing in your life is moving forward.
Just take it and run.
Yeah. Holding down that sleepy dude.
Yeah. Making sure he doesn't light himself on fire when he falls asleep with a cigarette or whatever he does.
Is he like far away too? You're like, hey, I know what we'll do for New Year's. I'll travel really far and then we'll fall asleep.
And then I'll watch you sleep. You're so cute when you dream, Yusef.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for coming in, Kim. Kim actually put this show together for us tonight.
Nice.
And I thank you for doing that. I think it was a really good topic, and I had fun. So thanks for making that happen for us.
Yeah, no problem. I thought the people that came out were really great. I really, I thought that they did a really good job. They felt really comfortable here.
Oh, good.
So thanks for not turning them off too much.
Yeah, we didn't fuck it up, right?
You know what? I don't think you did.
Wow.
I gave them the disclaimer that I am just an independent contractor.
Not to hold you responsible.
Yeah. Yeah. Responsible. I hope we can still maintain a friendship afterward, and I feel that that's the thing now. We can actually do that.
Did you tell him that there was like a 70-30 chance that we were going to make dick jokes within the first like 2 minutes of the interview?
I just said you guys are going to be assholes, so, you know, I wanted to keep it a blanket statement.
I tried real hard, but they didn't leave.
Yeah.
So that's cool for them.
Good.
Right?
Yeah. I'm proud of us. I think we... I don't know.
You're respectable.
We existed
well,
here.
It's not. I think we tried our best to make to do the topic justice. That's as far as I'm willing to go.
It's just a show for you, right?
Good. We tried,
yeah, which is a big deal. All right. Feel free to stay. We only got a couple things left to do here. And you want to talk to us about iDip real quick before we do our Labrusky Cruise giveaway?
I do. Are you talking to me or Kim?
You.
When I dip,
would love
dip,
to.
We dip.
There you go. Yeah, I love the iDip, man. It's if you guys remember, we talked about him a little bit on the show a few months back, where it's a handheld photometer. You know, water, a little water meter, but you need 4 milliliters of your water, and it's a really robust system, you know, for what to get a bunch of different tests for your brewing water, like, you know, so if people who'd use RO water or just want to know what's going on in their water, this is a super accurate test that pairs with via Bluetooth with an app on your phone, and you can run like total alkalinity, chloride, calcium, hardness, pH, sulfates, and through that you can run up to 35 different tests.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, and it's really easy to use. You know, like a lot of tests, you have to measure out different chemicals to put in the test to test for different shit. They have it on little strips, and you just put the little strip into whatever you're testing, and you shake it in the water for like 20 seconds.
Like a Polaroid picture?
Like a corduroy pager is how the song goes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's awesome. I don't
you
know.
Stick
I love
that
it.
Into the you stick it into the device.
Yeah, stick it in the
device. A little sample, yeah.
Yep. Nice. So, and so if you want to, you know, take multiple samples, of course, you have to change the water out.
You don't have to go and like hold it up against the chart.
Yeah.
No, you don't have to do anything.
A lot of strips.
It gives you all that.
It looks at that for you.
It looks at it for you. And then it pairs to the app, and then from the app you can upload it to Facebook or to you know, a group like your brew club Twitter or something like that, and you can kind of let everybody else know, maybe if you're brewing with people, you're trying to match different styles.
You can show what your local water is for your other club members. They're probably using the same water too.
Yeah.
Nice.
I love the iDip. It's actually really cool. I've used it before. I got Brian from of course Dr. Homebrew.
Yeah.
One of the handsome co-hosts of Dr. Homebrew.
He's
going to be using it too. He is handsome.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll talk about it on Dr. Homebrew in a couple weeks here.
Yeah,
but
check out my work.
Where can people get it?
You can go to smartbrewkit.com.
Okay.
And enter code TBN15, all caps, TBN, all caps, 15, to receive free shipping plus a bottle of reagent for free, which is a $70 value.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love reagent.
over and over again. I will get old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. You don't have to do any math. It's one of the only meters on the market that just lets you sit and shake some things.
You had me at no math.
Yeah. And it's one meter that will test everything you ever need to know.
Yeah. If you need it tests 35 different tests. If you need 36, then you don't need it.
You're it's not for you.
Totally
it's not for you. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thanks to iDip, a wonderful sponsor of ours. It is now time to give away a cabin for two on the Labrusky cruise. It's happening in the first week of March, and you're going to go party with us. You're going to hang out. You're going to have a great time. You're going to see Bevo in a bikini.
Yeah!
No, you're not.
We'll get out of it.
We'll give you a welding mask.
Deck of the
and then you'll need it.
You'll need it. The sun reflecting off of my poor pasty body.
You're going to get to play blackjack with Beardy in the casino.
Can't Black see the Jack. Cards. You'll win every time.
Yeah. You're gonna get to go to karaoke night with JP.
I'll sing some karaoke.
I'll probably actually do that then.
Yeah. You're gonna get to see a lot of music. You're gonna get to just party with us. All right. So all of you entered the. These are all the winners of our Twitter games over the last several weeks, and we're going to draw our winner right now. Cabin for two. Are you ready? Is everybody ready?
I'm ready. I can't wait. I hope it's someone that I know.
All right.
Because if it's someone winner. I don't know, I don't give a shit about him.
Right.
I'm throw him overboard.
You're going to get to know him on the cruise.
Because they're sharing your cabin.
Fuck.
Eric Kalenko.
Yeah.
Is our big winner of the Labrusky cruise.
Nice.
Yeah, you're going to party with us, Mr. Eric Kalenko. And get your liver ready now. I suggest you stay stone cold sober between now and then.
Bring your mace.
Bring your mace is probably a good idea.
But if you're not into medieval weapons, bring
lance, whatever. Yeah.
That's a cabin for two on the Labrusky cruise. Congratulations. Thank you for playing. If for some reason, just so the rest of you know, Eric cannot make the cruise. Right after the show, I'm going to draw several other names, and we'll just go down the list in order to the next people. But Eric Kalenko, you are headed to the ocean with us on an ocean liner that hopefully won't sink. All right.
Or at least sink slowly.
It might be a good idea to invest in swimming lessons. Between now and the cruise.
Yeah, I mean, when you're out there, swimming ain't going to matter. Fall overboard there.
That's it?
You're done. You're dead.
Mm.
All right. Twitter game today was what? If we won the lottery, which is worth like $1 zillion right now.
$1.3 billion or something
when
like that.
When we win the lottery.
Yeah.
You
got to
think positive.
Yeah. How should we spend the money, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. What did we get?
Well, Chris says Justin would probably do what? 15 lunch meets for that? Maybe 20?
okay. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Our little friend and Moby lookalike, Mike V. Sardina, says we would spend that money on nicotine patches for Justin. Lifetime. Disneyland passes for JP, LASIK for Beardy, and whatever Bevo asks for.
All right.
A double white.
Yeah. Patches.
I want a triple white if we're getting a billion.
All right.
Jeff Grailnick says a B&N Navy brew yacht, a tropical island, and coconut bikinis for Bevo and JP.
Yes. Love to see JP in a coconut bikini.
Me too.
We can make that happen in March.
We can. We can happen in February too if you want.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Beer Pete says JP would buy the Tornado so he could finally get served there.
All right.
That's pretty good. Josh Hickman says Justin would buy his way onto Bevo's free pass list.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. How much for number one, Bevo?
$1.3 billion.
All right. There's a chance.
Whoa.
Right. Mark Wilson says that much money could buy a host who still gives a shit and wants to be there.
Ah.
Ooh.
That's probably true.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Al writes, keep it all to yourself and forget, quote unquote, to share it with anyone else on the show. Get mad when someone calls you out for it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Austin writes, buy $1.4 billion worth of Cuviers, so y'all are never out of style at Disneyland Parks. Mm-hmm. You go to getcuviers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Chris B. writes, Tasty would use his cut to fund his campaign to reduce the legal age definition of a minor from 18 to 16.
Please.
I would back him up on that. Brock says Justin would be traveling. JP would be in Disneyland. Beardy, he just says eyes. Bevo, implants.
Implants?
I don't know, man. Huh. Tasty.
Bevo doesn't. Bevo, let's see him. Let's see if you need implants. Let's.
No, I don't. I just went bra shopping. I don't need implants.
How about some cosmetic surgery? You know, like a little lift. What do you think?
Not yet. I mean, she's got time on that. Well, she did have the baby, though.
Right. Yeah.
Remember the
children.
Baby.
The baby.
What size?
I will cut a bitch.
Are you from Santa Monica?
What size did you grow when you went bra shopping? Like from the last time you had to buy?
No.
No. What size are we talking here?
Why are you so creepy?
No, no. The older I Genetics. Get, too, like it just keeps getting worse.
Well, we are talking about women's issues tonight.
Yeah. Just talking about the issues.
Issue.
I would have liked to know how they brew with the problem that happens to women. I should have asked these questions. I should have been prepared.
God, when you bleed, what do you do?
I love you, Kim.
Kim, he was talking about the other problem.
Yes.
Being dumb.
Right. Because you have no experience.
You should cut this part of the show out.
You think so?
I don't get it. What
you didn't
she said.
Think we were going to do
I only
do
promote
that.
Things I care about for them. I don't promote anything they give a shit about.
You didn't think we were going to do the whole show without being complete idiots, did you?
Oh, God. I had hope. They got nothing else. They got nothing else.
All right. I didn't finish Brock's tweet.
Oh, okay. How did it start again?
Justin traveling.
Yeah.
JP Disneyland.
Yeah.
Beardy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Bevo implants.
Yeah.
Tasty cooking ingredients, and Doc, a new place to make beer.
Okay.
William writes, Justin will literally make Beardy shut the fuck up. Ball gag, maybe.
Okay, I like that one.
And last but not least.
Sounds like a nice ball gag.
X writes, buy a bunch of craft breweries, but don't give Justin the scoop.
Ah, I like it.
Fine.
Okay.
Timely.
All right, here's what I wrote down. That I would do 15 to 20 lunch meets. I hate it when I can't read my own writing, so that one doesn't count. A brew yacht, LASIK, and a coconut bikini. That one's kind of funny. JP would buy the Tornado so he could finally get served. I wrote that one down. I would buy my way onto Bevo's free pass list. I really like that one. And that I would make Beardy shut the fuck up, finally. The last two are my two favorites. Does anybody want to put a third in there for a vote of the list? Or
you could
what?
Just give me the 1.3 and I would shut the fuck
and
up.
And you would shut, yeah. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. I'm sure you would. I could probably give you the 0.3.
I wouldn't say a word.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
No, I second the motion on the 1.3 for the pass.
For the buying my way onto the pass?
Yeah,
that's my favorite one, I think. I would totally, I'd pay that. Wait, do I get to do anything about it, or I just get on the list? That's just to get on the
list. She still has to get a free pass.
She still has to activate the list.
I could go give Sam $40 right now and get out, and she'll get a free pass. Yeah. It'd be like, really?
$40?
I would have done it for $20.
You know how many Nintendo games I could buy for that? That's like three. That's like Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2.
That's a week worth of burritos.
Yeah, so I can go get 18 hot dogs.
if I go to Costco.
And they're bigger.
Yeah.
And I can afford to go to Costco.
Oh, my God. We had a conversation about Costco hot dogs last night.
I can eat at Costco for a month.
How long did the conversation go on for is what I want to know. I picture you two doing that for an hour.
No, it wasn't that long.
Okay.
Or longer than 45
minutes. I had said something about buying a package of hot dogs that I... Okay. Spoiled. Fun fact, I used to work at a hot dog restaurant in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Called Sam's Doghouse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did Sam used to own a hot dog joint?
But I saw the brand of hot dogs that they used at the hot dog restaurant.
I just love that you used to handle wieners all day.
That's what she's tired of.
Anyway, I saw them at Safeway, and I was like, we should buy these, but they're kind of expensive. And he's like, do you know that we could go to Costco? It's like $1 of that, and it was a whole
thing. Don't you. Hey, Beverly, listen to that. Hey,
I walked by the dollar
these
store
These
balls
at Costco
day.
Are selling them for cheap. They don't even know.
They don't even.
They're dumb.
Sam knows the price of hot dogs at every store.
I walked by the dollar store the other day, and there's a sign in the window selling shrimp.
Oh.
for a dollar. And I was like, who is buying dollar shrimp at the dollar store?
People with good health insurance that don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Watch, you're going to come home tonight, Bebo. Sam's going to be like, look what I found! $40 worth of shrimp!
Oh, that's disgusting.
Hey, Beverly, someone PayPal'd me $40. I didn't read the fine print, but I love shrimp.
Hey, Bev, I was checking the bank account and some money showed up. What, do you know what this $40 is?
Yeah, shrimp.
No.
Shrimp. All right, so I'm voting. I buy my way onto the free pass list. Anybody else want to vote something else?
Pretty good.
Sure. All right, I'll who won that?
That is free pass list. That's Josh Hickman.
All right, Josh, congratulations for being our Twitter winner today. You will get a prize of some kind. Just send Bevo an email, bevo@thebrewingnetwork.com, and she'll take care of you. She'll send you a little something.
Karen,
send him a hot dog.
JP's wife just texted me and she said, I worked at a hot dog place in high school, too. Must be why we're friends.
Wow. It's two wiener handlers. It's too professional.
You text her back and ask her why, if that's true, then why is she so bad at it?
Two wieners in a bun.
You stop it right now.
Bad at what? Eating hot dogs?
Yes. Yeah. And handling hot dogs.
Stop it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
I think she has the practice.
Are we done?
It just shows how much she loves you. She's listening to this hot mess.
That's all
she's had too many good ones. Crashing and burning.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get out of here. Thanks for everything, Kim Schimpfke, that you do. In the world.
Stuff. You pay me for stuff. I bring you dream albums every once in a while.
Yeah. So thanks for all that.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed seeing that.
You have my presence. I'm sitting next to you.
You know I've been farting for like 5 minutes.
I feel like that brings us closer.
Did you re-gift those farts to her?
Yeah.
I think from Walmart, too.
They kind of are.
Only a dollar. all right, next week we've got a great show. The great Dan Gordon. And Dr. Charlie Bamforth.
Wow. Whoa.
On one show.
Whoa.
Yeah. Coming in here together, which means, Bevo, we're going to have to figure out how you're getting home. We're going to have to chug a stiefel. We always have to stiefel when Dan's here.
Warren, don't eat beforehand.
I will not be eating the whole day.
Maybe Pepto-Bismol before you come in.
Can we?
Okay.
I think we need to do, Warren? We need to get Dan to overturn our loss.
Well, because he said it was a win.
He said it was a win, and then Jay said it was a loss. But we need Dan to stand up for the little man here.
I think you need to file for an appeal.
That's what we're trying to do.
Dan, so I would like you to write a little something of why you're appealing the my decision.
And then we'll win again just to prove that we rightfully deserve two wins.
That's correct.
I don't have a lot of faith in winning this time. I don't know. I haven't been chugging too well over the last few years.
I don't believe that at all.
I'm old. 38.
And now Schumann's a dad.
He's not even going to be allowed here. Not allowed to do things anymore.
Yeah, well, that's probably for the best, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, so we got a great show next week. I'm going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. JP, take us out of here.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Thank you to the ladies from Grisette Nouveau and the Pink Boot Society for coming in and talking about women and beer and women and beer with us tonight. It was really appreciated. We had a great time. Merge your love of Disneyland with your lack of engaging podcasts and go to earsuppodcast.com as JP, Terrence the Black, Bebo the Mom, and Taryn talk about all things Disney. Go check out Moscow's Hop Cartoons over at hoplifestore.com. For some good beer insight and homebrew info, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew and Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. Warren's hair was looking great tonight. No, really, he shouldn't change a thing. Production director on the session has been Push Eject. Today's show has been loosely produced by Justin Crossley. JP's bladder was working overtime. Bevo was feverishly editing her free pass list. And your host was Justin Crossley. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Justin's in Moscow and winning the race. JP does great as his charity.